Hey there, folks, and welcome to Comic Timing, episode 95. I'm your host, Brent Cassina, as well as your co-host, original host, Ian Levenstein. And today we're talking about the recent Marvel being acquired by Disney, as well as creator turnover. So here now, Comic Timing. Hey guys, it's Brent here, just adding on in the usual Heroes Corner ad before the show. There's only a couple more days, maybe there's only one day left, so you better get it quick to get your orders in for Heroes Corner. Otherwise, just go and get these at your local shop, but make sure you request them so they have a copy for you. For books that are solicited in September, we're picking the Dr. Horrible One-Shot. It's an indie book. At Heroes Corner, it's 50% off for a price of $1.50. Retail is $1.50. For DC, we're picking Rebels number 10. This is the one that comes with one of them colored rings. So it's regular 40% off. Heroes Corner price $249 for a $3.99 book. In Marvel, we're going to do Captain America Reborn number 5. 40% off, regular $3.99. Heroes Corner price $249. So be sure and you go and get those there. And also check out the special for this month from Heroes Corner. It's the Oceanverse special. Green Skeleton 2 on the forums does this. You can buy issues 1 and 2 for the combined price of only $3. So that's like two comic books for $3. Where else are you going to get that? Only at heroescorner.com. Be sure you check them out and enjoy the episode.
Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levenstein, and welcome to episode 95 of Comic Timing. Five away from 100, and we might have an idea of what we're doing for that, but that's still a little bit up in the air, but we'll announce something soon. But yeah, five away from 100, whoever thought it would happen. Most certainly not the co-host, Brent Cassino, right?
Hey, I gave you that idea for 100. Come on.
Yeah, all right.
And it's just going to mean we're going to come out with a 105 months, so, you know, February. Good to go.
Okay, man, I'm trying my best to get out at least two episodes a month.
Right. I was going to say we should put out like it on Christmas Day, but even that would be, you know, a little too soon.
I'm free. I'm Jewish.
Two episodes a month, you're going to ruin your track record?
And the man who's putting us down would be Ubar.
You know, I'm not working right now. I could edit for pay.
Oh, that's why you sound like you do right now. You're at work. I didn't realize.
No, I got laid off this week, dude.
Oh, shit. Never mind. Ouch. I misheard.
Not even going to say you're sorry? I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Jeez, where are your feelings, Ian?
I buried them away behind some chicken wings.
Oh, wow.
Nah, seriously, man. Like did they at least give you like severance or anything?
I'm getting unemployment.
All right, that's not bad.
Hey, Ian, would you mind telling the listeners who we're talking to?
Oh yeah, hi, Umar from The Fixers. Hi, Umar.
You already went over that.
And Gabe from Strangers with Comics, The Fixers, Comic Book Roadshow, and whatever other podcast he feels like being on. Hi, Gabe.
I'm the Jamal Igel of podcasters.
Yes. You're the new man of 1,000 podcasts. David Price sticks to 11 o'clock comics and Marvel Noise now.
Oh no, he left.
What?
One of them left at 11 o'clock. I think it was David.
No.
I just listened to the last episode.
You mean they couldn't take Vince B either?
Listen, I don't even know how I survived you.
Oh, ouch. Ouch. It might have been a bad idea to have Umar and Gabe on the same episode. I don't know. I'm not sure.
So, and now, this is like behind the music, and then it crumbled.
Right.
The CT true comic book story.
It was episode 95 of Comic Timing. Things were looking rosy until the game.
Oh, were they?
You gotta fight. Yeah, you gotta play the music, right?
Yeah, right.
Bum, bum.
Little did anybody else know that was the day that Ian discovered heroin.
And most people watching this will say, "Who's Ian?"
Oh, ouch!
That's a lie. Everybody knows Ian. Please.
Yeah. He's that Jew, right?
He got a shout out on
the podcasting veteran.
Yeah, I got a shout out on 11 o'clock because I sent Vince the package.
The package.
Whoa, that sounds kind of personal.
Yeah, it was personal. No, I all right. When I go to San Diego Comic Con and I see a Witchblade San Diego Comic Con exclusive that I don't really care that much about, but I bought it anyway, I'm like, okay, Vince will appreciate this more. So I sent it over to him.
Wait a minute, isn't Witchblade 2 superhero for Vince?
Oh, yeah. This coming from the guy who reads FF like every single month that it comes out.
Hey, I read FF.
I know. So
I haven't read the newest one, though.
Yeah, so obviously he's into the superhero stuff a little bit. Maybe. But all right, let's talk about the important thing at hand. Speaking of Fantastic Four, we were going to talk about creator turnover. We will get to that on this episode, but we start things off with the topic that broke yesterday. We're recording this on what day of the week is
Tuesday,
it?
Tuesday, September 1st.
Thank you. Tuesday, September 1st. The news broke
talking
on
about Ted
August
Kennedy
31st.
Dying?
Yes, we're talking about Ted Kennedy dying and Blue Water Publishing coming out with his biography. So, Brent, what do you think?
I think it'll sell 100,000.
Yeah, no. We're talking about Marvel Comics being purchased by Mickey Mouse and his friends, Disney Entertainment. Okay,
so I don't really think Mickey Mouse walked up to the bank and went, "Give me Marvel Comics."
You don't know that. You really don't know.
Give me
that.
Your Marvel Comics.
Hello, boys and girls. You're gonna get rid of the Max one because it's a Mickey Mouse.
See, you know, y'all are all missing the potential of this. Can't you see it? The next X-Men movie, Storm, played by Raven Simone.
Oh,
I just want them to put out something like the South Park guys did with Disney, with Mickey and the Jonas Brothers. I want to see Mickey in a Max comic.
Oh, dude.
Did you see that episode?
Yeah, no. With God, yeah, that was great.
With the foam. Oh, with the foam.
And Disney's going to tell Marvel, you must remove the breasts from all your superheroines because all our women are not allowed to have breasts.
They're all going to look like Kitty Pryde.
No, my favorite joke going around is, I guess this makes Storm a Disney princess.
Right?
Ed Benitz will never work for Marvel.
Oh, or the one that I posted to Twitter and on the comic forums. Yeah, the 101 Dalmatians become 2 Dalmatians after Scarlet Witch cries, "No more Dalmatians."
Don't give Quesada any ideas.
Uh-oh.
Don't give Quesada any ideas.
Well, now that we've gone through the jokes, how about we actually be serious here a little bit and we actually talk about what's going on and all this
jazz? I thought we were a comedy show.
Oh, just because we're called Comic Timing doesn't make us a comedy show, all right?
But, I brought my puppets for night.
Oh,
I get mixed
dear.
Up from time to time.
Now, okay, just like the change in sci-fi where before we discuss it, we have to give their rationale behind it.
Yes.
Apparently, what Disney is saying is they want a way to penetrate the 4 to 16-year-old market in
boys. That sounds so naughty going from...
But wait a second. But I'm like, you bought a comic book company. 4 to 16-year-olds aren't reading comics. You made
they
the wrong move, Disney.
Well, all right. No, see, they didn't buy it for the comics, and you know that, okay? They bought it for the cartoons. They bought it for the movies. They bought it for the potential to make new animated series, the toys, the games, the merchandise. All that is in there. The comic books are obviously where they come from, but that's not really what is going to make Marvel successful under Disney. I mean, for sure, man, it's going to be everything but the comic books. I mean, the comic books might benefit because they're going to have increased distribution due to the means that Disney has at their hands. But do you really think they were buying Marvel for the comic books themselves, Umar? I mean, come on.
Okay, so that begs the question. Now, Marvel, besides their straight-to-DVD animations, has 3 shows that I know of that are... I don't know what happened to Spectacular Spider-Man, but I heard another season is supposed to come.
Spectacular Spider-Man is actually on Disney XD. So that they don't have to worry about. That's already under
there. Is it in production, or is it...
Yeah, it's still in the production.
So how is it... how is Iron Man and the X-Men doing?
The X-Men cartoon is fucking wonderful.
Yeah, and it's been doing pretty well for them. Iron Man has been doing shit because it's a piece of crap.
Really?
Yeah, oh, wow. We can't debate that.
Well, all right. Come on. We've talked about this on Comic Diving before, and Brent knows how I feel about it, all right? The fact that they take away everything that makes Iron Man cool, and they make him a teenager.
Pimp.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, he can't be having sex with women and getting drunk.
Or Danny.
Well, I don't know. And Gabe, you're not on your headset. I swear to God, this is your mic.
I am.
Well, not your microphone. Not your microphone.
All right, maybe I need to... All right, keep on talking. Maybe I got to jerk around the cable a little bit.
All right, because this is definitely your laptop mic coming out because we hear everything going on in the room. But anyway, going back to what I was saying, yeah, I mean, like, the Iron Man cartoon barely resembles Iron Man. The only thing that makes it an Iron Man cartoon is that he's in a suit of armor.
Okay, I hate Batman Brave and the Bold, but I am cognizant that even though it's on at 8 o'clock at night, it's not aimed towards me.
Right.
So the question is, despite any geek feelings towards it, how is it doing?
What, Brave and the Bold?
No, Iron Man.
Oh, Iron Man. Last I checked, Iron Man was not doing nearly as well as Wolverine and the X-Men was doing on Nickelodeon. It's doing okay, like enough to continue making it, but it's not doing nearly as well as Wolverine and the X-Men.
Well, that's expectable, only because Wolverine is a bigger name than Iron Man is.
Right, right, and the X-Men are a bigger name, but and yet the Iron Man movie did better than either X-Men movie.
Yeah, I think really they took too long putting it out because they should have struck while the irons were really hot, which usually TV does, but it didn't do it with Iron Man. They took a long time putting that out.
It was announced right before the Iron Man movie came out. What they should be doing is doing those shorts they did with Spider-Man, Iron Man, and the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the same team that did the Ultimate Alliance, like CGI things.
Right.
You can find those on the Marvel website or something. But they're aimed at kids, but that thing was badass.
Oh, yeah, that was really cool. And they had the same voice actor from the Ultimate Alliance game voicing Iron Man, so it worked.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, for some reason they decided to go the child route, and I don't know. But, Umar, you know, and I'll voice this to everybody also. I mean, don't you think they would have been able to make a show oriented towards kids with Iron Man as an adult in the Iron suit? No?
No. Okay, because what I know is the kids who are little kids around me now, I like the Iron Man cartoon, except the theme song. But that theme song? Whoa, I'm not kidding. I know my godson, who's only two, knows the theme song, knows Iron Man. Mm-hmm. He knows two things, Iron Man and robots.
Okay.
So he points, Iron Man, robots. My little nieces know the theme song. My friend's daughters at work know that theme song.
Is it I am Iron Man?
No, it's not. I don't even know the words. They know the words. So
that's the theme song I know.
Yeah, that's the one that I know too, and that's the one that I grew up on when I was 8 or 9. You know, but
and I think it's a different generation because I remember when the superhero king cartoons came out when I was kids, the Fantastic Four were adults. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man was, you know, at least a college or at least a high school kid, and I was mm-hmm. too young, so that was adult to me. So I don't know why everything has to be A, either anime, or B, adult. I don't know about the kids. I don't know what that's about.
Iron Man doesn't work because as a kids show, because you can't let your kids watch Entourage. That's what Iron Man should be. Entourage with a metal suit.
Yes.
Well, Umar, not to offend you and make you feel older, but when does this cartoon just exactly taken from the issues when you were a kid?
No. That was when I was a very small kid. We're talking about the 70s and the 80s.
I thought you were talking about the 69 one.
There were no children in the Transformers until the movie. You got the disc. Check me on this.
Mm-hmm.
No, Spike.
I don't think there were any humans in the Transformers.
When was his dad? The first episode.
Yeah, Spike and his dad were in it from the first episode, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Gabe won't lend me his box set because he's, you know, he's just like that, so.
It's a huge box. You want me to walk around with a huge box?
So give him disc by disc then, you know? Give him a season at a time. That's what I'm doing with a friend of mine in SG-1. You know, I'm giving him season by season.
I'll see if I lend you my rarer ones.
All right.
Jerk. All right. See how he puts me on the spot on other people's show? He won't say this on the Hideout.
Oh, really? Really?
No.
I won't?
He'll try to get Ian to lean on me.
Lean on me.
When you're alone.
But going back to what was being said, I mean, we're talking to cartoons now and everything like that, but what else do you think Disney gets from purchasing Marvel? I mean, obviously they're going to get the rights to the movies once all these current contracts are up, like the development deal with the Avengers movie and the Iron Man movie and the Thor movie and whatnot. That's all under Paramount's roof.
Now, what about the games?
The games, actually, that's a good thing to bring up, because I believe Activision's deal has about another 2 or 3 years on it, but then after that, they obviously it reverts back to Marvel, which would be Disney, and they can make whatever games they want under Disney's umbrella.
Oh, dear God.
Here's the thing I don't understand. I mean, obviously, it's about the merchandising.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you saw a little kid walking around with a Mickey Mouse or a Goofy backpack?
A long time.
Honestly. Mm-hmm. When is the last time you've seen any of the, you know, the main Disney characters that we all know and love?
Mm-hmm.
When is the last time you've seen them in any actual pop culture thing other than the theme parks?
Kingdom Hearts.
All right. Well, how many little kids are playing Kingdom Hearts? 5 and 6 year olds who tell their moms and dads, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, I want a Mickey Mouse backpack and a Goofy lunchbox."
Point. No, well, Well, I haven't seen 5 or 6 year olds play. I've seen 10, 11, 12 year olds play it. I haven't seen any little kids who are enamored with Kingdom Hearts.
Right, because it's a more complicated game. It's a square game, for God's sakes. I mean those games, you know, take at least like hand eye coordination to actually get through, and 5, 6 year old probably isn't going to have that.
But the scary part is the next Kingdom Hearts with Spider-Man, then the Hulk, then Fantastic Four, and then Cloud.
Well, no, that's not my point about Kingdom Hearts.
Okay.
My point is that the Disney characters mm-hmm. have not been really prominent in the cultural lexicon as the Marvel characters have been in the past 10 years.
Oh, I'll agree with that wholeheartedly, yeah. Because, I mean...
They're not putting out any cartoons for mm-hmm. anyone to watch. They're not... showing the older cartoons on Disney Channel,
mm-hmm.
you know, it might be on Toon Disney, but
barely.
You know, that's not even a free channel. Disney Channel used to have to pay for it. Mm-hmm. Now it seems like it's available everywhere.
Right.
But they don't even show any old cartoons. It's all of this Hannah Montana and Raven Simone crap.
Yeah, Toon Disney actually isn't even Toon Disney anymore. It's Disney XD, and when they did that, they got rid of a lot of the old cartoons that they used to show on Toon Disney. They made it more of a similar to something like the N/Teen Nick, considering it's becoming Teen Nick in late September. You know, the type of thing that basically it's sort of like a Disney 2. You know, like ESPN and ESPN 2. That's what Disney XD has basically become. Like somewhere else to show the shows while you're showing like a movie on the regular Disney Channel or something like that.
And let's face facts, Toon Disney, the only one you'll hear about that from is little girls.
I wouldn't say about that, actually, Umar. What about the fact that they've been showing for the past 5 years the original X-Men cartoon, the original Spider-Man cartoon?
Oh, yeah. When we were still living in Gainesville, my girlfriend had, Mandy had Satellite, mm-hmm. and they had Disney XD.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, whenever I was there, I would turn to that channel hoping that Spider-Man or X-Men would be on, and sure enough, I would watch them if they were on.
Hey,
actually, yeah, you got a point there. You're right.
Yeah, well, and they not only just that, but they also showed, and I mean, this isn't Marvel, but they were the ones who showed the original Batman cartoon and the original Superman cartoon for a while.
And they still marathon Static Shock.
Yes, they do on occasion. Not nearly as much as they did, because I'm not sure if they even have that anymore. But
no, every Saturday.
Every Saturday, really? Okay.
Actually, now you just made me realize I've been watching Disney XD.
You didn't even realize it, huh?
Nope.
Well, they have Jackie Chan Adventures also. They've got, you know, obviously all the old Disney Afternoon cartoons are on there. So, you know, Chippendale's Rescue Rangers and Gargoyles and stuff like that. But those are usually on at like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. They put it
in.
Yeah, so
when you talk about Jackie Chan Adventures and Gargoyles, like you're talking, for me, that is until Justice League and Justice League Unlimited,
mm-hmm.
the last point where cartoons stopped having any imagination at
right,
all.
Right. Yeah, no, those were pretty damn awesome. I mean, and my favorite part, it's the Jackie Chan Adventures, and Jackie Chan doesn't even voice himself.
Hey, I was like the old man. And one more thing!
One more thing. Talisman not important. I used to watch that every single Saturday. It was good times. But what about theme parks? Because the deal, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Marvel just... recently sign a new deal with Universal, like only about a year ago? Because I remember that they were talking about getting rid of the Marvel Islands or whatever it was, Islands of Adventure in Universal Studios, or at least renaming them, because the rights were going to go up. But I haven't heard anything about that since then.
And don't forget about the Marvel theme park that's about to open in about 2 or 3 years in a Middle Eastern country. I forgot which one.
That might not actually be happening because Dubai has sort of gone bankrupt over the past couple of years.
Oh, okay.
So that's still up in the air. But if it does happen, obviously they'll have, you know, Disney support, which is a good thing to have. But, I mean, it's sort of a given that you're going to wind up seeing Marvel rides at Disney World now. So all right, but you know, let's go back to what I was saying about the amusement parks. Like, I mean, there's got to be integration, right?
Oh, definitely. You know, see, with the amusement park integration is dependent on how the movies are going to do. And if Marvel keeps with its current trend, I cannot see its movies tanking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep Halle Berry out. Don't let Brett Ratner direct anything else. And tell Brian Singer the truth.
And keep making movies that are true to the characters.
Yeah. because it obviously works. I mean, I think if they had put that second Hulk out first, Hulk, another Hulk movie would have done way better.
Mm-hmm. Another Hulk movie did do way better.
Yeah, the second one. Yeah, the second one, which was
No, it did about the same, unfortunately.
Well, it was received way better.
Yeah, it was received way better, and it's done much better in DVD sales, from what I've heard. Which is important, because, you know, obviously if the movie's good, more people are going to want to actually buy it on DVD versus the original Hulk, which wasn't so good, and most people who saw it in the theaters probably never wanted to see it again.
Oh, I better not admit I watch it all the time, huh?
No.
I bought the DVD the other day, because it was $5.
Oh, okay, good. There you go.
To watch it again to see what was so bad about it.
I liked it. It was good. I own the DVD. I've seen it like 3 times.
I own it too. All right, well, back to
I own the double disc set, but then you're talking about, that's a good point. And then you're talking about the DVDs. How's this going to be for DVD sales too? I mean, I think maybe they're going for everything.
Well, see, what I would love.
Well, now Marvel doesn't have to distribute their animated stuff through Lionsgate.
Yes.
They have a Disney to promote it.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of up in the air because they're honoring whatever contracts Marvel had. So whenever Marvel's contract with Lionsgate's over, then Disney picks it up.
Okay.
That's what I don't understand about this deal. It seems like it's ill-timed. Marvel, you know, the Marvel superhero island is still going to be around for the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. They're not going to tear it down. You know, I live in Orlando. I would know this. But they're not going to tear it down because Universal Studios is already revamping half of their park, basically, to be...
What the hell is that?
Not me.
It sounded like plastic rack or plastic wrap or raining.
Oh, sorry
fire.
About that. It's the girl with the foil. Don't ask.
Okay. All right. Fine.
Yeah.
Brent, as you were saying.
All right. So they're redoing half of one of their parks. They're redoing Islands of Adventure, where Dueling Dragons was. If you've ever been, that's roller coaster's still there. You can still ride that roller coaster, but you can't walk through the area.
Okay.
They're going to redo it to be Harry Potter Island.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
So that's all under construction. So that line for that roller coaster when I went a couple months ago actually goes from the end of Jurassic Park over some boardwalk. And it looks like they even tore down the old waiting room line. Mm-hmm. So basically you're in that line walking towards the roller coaster and then you get straight on. But you're basically looking at like the construction plywood on either side of you. It looked really exciting, so we skipped it. Because we've been on that so many times. Like, you know what? I really don't want to look at all this crap. Because what was cool about that waiting room line, and now this is off topic again, but it was like a castle, and they had people, dead people hanging from the ceilings. Like, a dragon was here and all this other stuff.
Like, fire, actual dead people?
No, like dummies and stuff. Dummy. But, but yeah, it just seems really ill-timed. This Disney deal that Marvel has been making or renewing these contracts, in that you'd think that if they knew this was coming and they wanted it, why didn't they put stuff on hold so that when this was announced, they could announce new things?
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't think really anybody other than the higher ups at Marvel knew any of this was coming. The lower down people at Disney when they signed that deal with Boom Studios, you know, obviously didn't know that Marvel Comics was going to be, you know, under the Disney umbrella within a couple of months, or else they would have never made the deal in the first place. You know, they would have waited until they would be able to have Marvel Comics saying, hey, boom, boom, boom. But, you know, that's the problem. It's a trickle-down effect. The higher-ups might be making the deal, but the lower-downs have no idea what the hell's going on, and they're going to make their own deals.
Another thing we have to realize is that as much as we joke about Disney, Disney is a ruthless business consortium.
Yeah, they're Mauschwitz.
They don't joke, they don't play, and they want it their way. And when they put their foot down, ABC feels it.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the bright side, though, they have let like stuff like ESPN basically run whatever way they want to. You know, I mean, they've been very hands off with that. Pixar obviously gets to do whatever Pixar wants because they're the bread and butter of Disney right now. Talking about the animation, even though that Marvel still has the deal with Lionsgate, it doesn't mean that they can't, you know, go to Pixar now and get some animated 3D movies going off
and
of that.
And you know what? That's another thing I'm thinking about. I would love for Marvel to get the hell off this 2D crap. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the effort. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, this is like It was like that Street Fighter video game, 2D. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
In a 3D world? Really?
And it was awesome.
That's what it was about. Making it on the cheap. Making it on a budget. And 2D animation, to send it over to Korea or Japan, wherever they're doing it, is cheaper than having it done 3D anywhere.
Definitely.
When the profit margin is not very big because it's going straight to DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And only being bought up by comic fans and somebody's mom, you know?
Yeah, and they recently stopped the straight-to-DVD sequels over at Disney due to, you know, John Lasseter basically laughing at people over that shit because it's like, you know, it was the worst quality movies ever. But Disney is not averse to putting out good movies on DVD. So, obviously, if, you know, if the deal with Lionsgate goes up and they still want to make movies like that, Disney will do it, and the animation probably will get better because you'll have Disney Studios behind it.
And for every, I think for everybody saying that, you know, the Marvel Comics is going to get watered down or whatever, and, you know, maybe we're not going to get that Deadpool animated feature or whatever, like he's hilarious in Ultimate Wolverine versus Hulk. Mm-hmm. Disney has put out PG-13 films.
Yes.
You know, Mean Girls, all of the Pirates of the Caribbean, which are pretty intense if you really want to look at them. Mm-hmm. So, and then if you look at the Marvel DVDs lately, that Wolverine versus Hulk one was brutal.
Oh yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah, it was.
So, and that's more, you know, as much as we're getting in the mainstream comic books right now. So I don't think that really that's a concern. The concern might be with the Max, but I mean, if you've got ESPN doing somebody's car's getting stolen, you better.
Yeah, Gabe, man, we're back to hearing everything on your end, man. Like
it's
like,
the same mic. It's God. I hate living in the fucking ghetto.
Yeah, man. What the hell? You got like a closed room or something you could be in, like without any windows and shit. I don't know.
Let me try.
All right. Get
back. Pull out his Glock and put it out the window and be like, "Bitches, I'm fucking podcasting."
I did actually almost call the cops on somebody once when I was podcasting because they wouldn't shut their radio off.
Wow.
Sure. What's the problem? Man, I'm trying to talk to my geek friends on the internet, trying to podcast, and this motherfucker over here won't shut his fucking mouth.
You're trying to do what with a pod?
Sure, we're going to have to arrest you for that.
This is a no-pod people zone, I'm sorry.
No, it's a podcast, like internet radio. What? Radio?
What?
These things right here?
Anyway, what were you saying?
Yeah. I was saying that the watered-down effect, I really don't see that. I can see the you know that new Avengers cartoon that's supposed to be like really kid-friendly?
Mm-hmm.
The Mighty Heroes? I can see that being shown on Disney now.
Oh, hell yeah.
That'd be hilarious. But the other thing I really don't understand is I really don't see – like I understood when Universal picked up the Marvel Studios Adventure Island in Islands of Adventure because that makes sense. Because you got Marvel, Batman, or not, sorry, Spider-Man.
Marvel and Fantastic Batman. Oh my God. Wow, this deal was bigger than I thought.
I know, right? Fantastic Four, X-Men, Wolverine, Hulk, you know, violent characters. And in that same park, you got Jurassic Park, dinosaurs eating people. You got dragons in medieval times, people getting cut the fuck up. And you got Dr. Seuss for the little kids. It's like, you know, Woody Woodpecker next to the killer orca at SeaWorld. Mm-hmm. And then, the other thing they have in the other park is, you know, Jaws, The Mummy, Twister, Terminator, all like adult characters, basically, based off of.
Right.
You know, adult, more mature kind of things. So that made sense. Whereas in Disney, you've got Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, you got, you know, Splash Mountain with all those Brer Rabbit, Brer Bear, all that crap that, you know, nobody's seen that movie for years, yet they still go on the ride and like, okay, yeah, whatever. I just the purple dinosaur at the Imaginarium at Epcot.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm shocked it'll have
nobody's seen. It just that those characters, and then the Marvel characters. It seems like the mesh is a little different.
I'm shocked they don't have a Rock ride.
What?
The Rock. I mean, is he like contracted to Disney for life now?
Yeah, he seems to be doing nothing but Disney movies. Yeah. See, my problem is when you said the Rock ride, I was thinking like what? Wait, what? The Sean Connery ride? What?
That's probably
you get on the ride. Rock, come to the Rock.
Stop the chemicals with Nicolas Cage.
Get on the ride. That's what I did to your mother last night, Trebek.
Well, maybe I really don't like see it because at the Disney Hollywood Studios, used to be known as MGM, you've kind of got the more adult-oriented fare. You know, they've got the Star Wars ride there. They got a car backfiring in the background. They got the Indiana Jones stunt show. They got the great movie ride with the alien thing coming at you, you know, from Aliens. You know, kind of adult. They got like a horror thing. It's more like the adult. So I can see maybe integrating stuff there. But as far as Magic Kingdom, you know, Epcot, definitely not. Animal Kingdom, that's out. Unless they're planning to build, you know, like on the theme park side of it, their own Marvel theme park.
Well, sweet. Yeah. Well, I mean,
but we already have that at Universal. I mean, it's a mini one, but I mean, if you can do a whole one with all of the characters and throw in MODOK and Deadpool and, you know, I don't know.
They're going to put the mutants in the World of Tomorrow exhibit.
You could have a Fantastic Four section.
Oh, wow. Ride Jessica Alba. I'll pay for that.
I should go to Disney right now, you know? Hey, look, here's an idea. I got me and my consultant, Ian Levenstein. We know all about this stuff.
Yeah.
You know what fans want.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm obviously the businessman in the quarter because I'm a Jew. All right. What do we got going?
But I would think that the meshing would happen as time goes on. Like I said, the full brunt of the Marvel movie franchises have not been felt. Now, we know they're coming, but the full effect hasn't been here yet. We've got a spattering of movies. Most of the Marvel movies put out were not really put out by Marvel. They were put out with deals that Marvel made that's selling their licenses. Mm-hmm. So, but if Marvel, if this whole, and I think it will, this whole merging from the Iron Man, Captain America, Thor to the Avengers works, then in the future, Disney has open properties because there are no Avengers rides. Well, I mean, I think Captain America is pretty much an icon. It's a pop culture icon. He's beyond the comic books like Spider-Man is. Mm-hmm. And thanks to Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man is almost there. You know, just I think if this second movie hits, like it looks like it will.
Well, I mean, you got Randy Couture. His nickname is Captain America, and just got the shit beat out of him, you know, last weekend. Anybody watch that UFC fight?
No.
Okay. Never mind. Anyway, his nickname is Captain America, and he's like 46 years old doing MMA.
Oh, he's the one that got beat by Lesnar.
Yeah. No. Somebody else, Nogueira beat him last week.
No, I'm talking about he lost the title to Lesnar.
Ian, you let wrestling people start talking about wrestling, they'll start thinking it's real. So
that's UMA.
This is MMA. This is MMA. Like actual people knocking the shit out of each other.
MMA, okay. MMA, more Marvel asshole.
It's
all
glorified.
Right, so let's start.
Bro, we'll do our own MMA podcast. I got you.
I'm only just now getting into it. I've seen two fights, 100 and 102.
So anyway, damn it, I'm going to try my best to get back on topic here, no matter what, all right? But
20 minutes left.
God damn it, son of a bitch. But all right. Going back to you know, talking about the, you know, slow integration, that is what happens with properties like this. That, you know, just because you got bought doesn't mean right away you're going to start showing up on the books, you know, for every single, you know, Disney, you know, branch. You know, it's going to take a while because contracts have been made. They need to run out. Once they do that, then Disney can start actually really reaping the real benefits from all this stuff. But they wanted to get them under their belt now before either A, the price went up any farther because, Jesus, man, they paid $1 billion, like more than $1 billion.
$4 billion
for Marvel right now. Iron Man 2 does well, if the Avengers does well, if Thor does well, if Captain America does well, that would have been $6 billion. You know, because right now, Marvel just wanted, you know, to assure their investors that their money is secure, all's well with the world, we just got bought by the biggest company in the world. You know, and how scary is it to think this? I mean, I brought this up in a bunch of places. Warner Brothers and Disney now own the comic book industry. That's it. The two biggest comic book companies in the comic book industry are owned by the two biggest companies in the world.
Wow, that is
Warner and Disney.
Yeah, that's something to think about. Wow.
Yeah. Now, that does say something also about independent companies really not really existing anymore. You know, because sure, you've got your major indies, but the big independent companies have been bought up by larger conglomerates already in the world. I mean, in fact, and you know, I hate to put it this way, Image Comics is officially the biggest independent distributor of comic books right now. The biggest distributor publisher of comics right now that is not owned by a big conglomerate.
Well, I don't know if I've heard. I think it was Lori last night. We did this on Strangers last night. I think she said that. I think one of the reasons that they went with Marvel is their deal. They were trying to get Archie. Mm-hmm. And either Archie was too expensive for them, or they weren't. Whoever owns Archie Comics wasn't letting them go.
Okay.
I still think Archie's in their long term goals. And imagine Disney gets Marvel and gets Archie Comics. They have Archie sells more than Disney and I mean than DC and Marvel.
Right.
They get the supermarket. So imagine Disney getting comic books and supermarket publications. You won't even need Diamond anymore.
Dude, we're gonna start seeing you know, in the same place that you usually find the Archie Digest and stuff like that, we could start seeing Marvel Digests. You know, I mean, can you imagine what this is going to do for the Marvel Digest, like Runaways or Spider-Girl or something like that? Seeing that on supermarket shelves, easy for kids to pick up and peruse through while they're waiting for their parents to, you know, pick up stuff and then they wind up buying it?
No, there may be another beneficial effect we're not even looking at, because doesn't this mean Disney own all of Marvel's imprints too?
Yes, they do.
So that means we might, that somewhere down the line, we might actually see that Powers thing come out.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever version it comes out. Maybe Disney will be like, you know what? Disney will take a story and do the story. Disney doesn't alter the stories when it translates it to the screen or TV.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Disney will be the one to bitch slap Marvel and say, you know, you got these stories already written. Because the only thing that annoys me about Marvel and DC cartoons is, I'm like, you have all the stories. Why do you keep going off of them in your movies? What is that about?
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't want to go too far off of continuity and make people, you know, feel lost. They want to try and make an adaptation and not necessarily be bogged down by everything that has been written in a book previously. I mean, think about Watchmen. You know, Watchmen was hit or miss for people because that was a direct translation from comic book to film. You know, some people thought that was great, but, you know, not everybody.
But Watchmen is something different. That you unfortunately with Watchmen, that you cannot put it in, you cannot compare it to regular comic book continuity. What I'm saying is, all right, Disney and Pixar, can you see them getting their hands on Jim Sterling's stuff and say, you know what, let's tighten AE these bitches.
Mm-hmm.
I would, you know, let's tell the Galactus story. Tell it. Just tell the story. There's a reason why everyone fell in love with these stories, and it wasn't because it was the 60s. They had no place else to go.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
There's a reason why these stories sell. I mean, for God's sake, if you're going to do Swamp Thing again, get it out of the hand. Oh, I'm sorry, Marvel, sorry.
that would be Man Thing.
But, you know, what I'm saying, if you're going to do these things, like the smartest thing Marvel did was take this stuff and do it themselves and keep on track within the storylines that they've already written. So if you're going to start doing these animations, why not just draw from all the scripts and the writings you've already got? Why go outside the box in these weird directions? I mean, I like Ultimate Vision. It was aight.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Avengers is a damn good story by itself. You didn't have to go that far. You didn't have to give me GoBot Black Panther. I don't understand what the hell y'all were doing.
But meanwhile,
because they want two things. They want to give somebody who read the book something new to watch, and they also want to give someone who's never seen it before.
Gabe, are you in a truck?
I've been kidnapped.
What the hell?
Room Raiders came to get him, and he brought his laptop with him.
Yeah. No, what I'm saying is they want to give new readers who bought Ultimate something new to read, while at the same time they want to give somebody who hasn't picked up those books something that isn't dragged out in continuity. They want to give, you know, who wants to pay $30 for a Blu-ray or $20 for a DVD and it be the same story that you read already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean think of what they did with Hulk Versus. You know, it was a good story, but both the Wolverine story and the Thor story might have been taken from a little bit of previous Marvel stories, but they were their own unique stories, and I think it worked very well because they actually wrote a story here, as opposed to making Ultimate Avengers, which was basically just a dumbed down version of the Ultimates. You know, they actually tried, and as long as you try, quite frankly, I don't care if it's exactly what was on the page or not. As long as it's good, I'll watch it. You know, think of what DC's been doing. Wonder Woman, Green Lantern. You know, these were origin stories, but they were told in a unique perspective that made it work as an animated feature. If you did that with Captain America, hell yeah, I'd watch that. You know, it doesn't have to be the exact, you know, origin of Captain America. Just give me something good, man. You know, did you see the Doctor Strange, Umar?
Yes, I did.
Was that good?
I liked the Doctor Strange very much.
I liked it as well. But
I didn't like the Iron Man.
You didn't like the Iron Man?
I liked the Iron Man much better.
Really? Okay.
Than Doctor Strange. Well, I've told you this before. I thought Doctor Strange was really, really slow.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We have been through this. Yes. but you know, that was another example, though, of telling a story based on a character and not necessarily on a story that's already been told. You know? So there you go.
Okay.
But, goddamn, son of a bitch, my voice is going. That's not good.
I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I'm all for them. I think put out as much as you want, and I think that's what's going to happen with Disney. That's another thing that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to see a lessening or a changing. I think Disney's going to just encourage them. Put those animations out. Right. Put those T-shirts out. You know, even the T-shirt market, which I did do a study of, which is weird, because when they changed the way they did the T-shirt art, and you got all these wild, which got even non-comic book people going, that's such a good T-shirt, I'm going to wear it.
Yeah.
So I think Disney will encourage them to continue to do this. I think what we're going to see is a lot more animations. Even if it's just Lionsgate, I think once that contract runs out, Disney's not going to say, okay, that's enough. They're going to pump out as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I think we might see more knowing Disney.
Oh, yeah. Well, and actually, not just knowing Disney, but knowing Lionsgate and knowing Paramount and stuff like that, they're going to try their best to do as much as possible with the license while they still have it. So they're going to try and put out as many movies as humanly possible.
So we're getting the Lockjaw and the Pet Avengers movie?
Oh, hell yes. I would love to see that. I would love to see that, but that'll actually be probably a Disney thing, to tell you the truth, Gabe. I mean, I don't expect that to come out under the Lionsgate contract, but man, if that's still around by the time that Disney actually starts putting out real like animated movies from that, I'm for it. But here's my dream, okay? And it's something that I brought up on the forum thread, and a couple of people agree with me.
I have a dream.
Now that it's under the Marvel umbrella, Disney Pixar presents Marvel Man. Okay? A 3D.
You really think Alan Moore is going to give up whatever rights or anybody else?
No. Not the Alan Moore stories, not the Neil Gaiman stories. You tell, using Pixar's guys, you tell a mature, like almost an incredible style
like
movie.
Beowulf,
right?
You want to see it like, I want to see it like Beowulf.
Well, that'd be interesting, yeah. But maybe not something that's quite as realistic as Beowulf, but definitely a more mature Pixar Marvel Man movie. It doesn't even need to be taken from the previous material; just something that works. And I will be in the seats watching that the minute it comes out, and I'm sure a bunch of people would too. But I mean, do you guys think?
Okay, you know what the problem with Marvel Man is.
What's up?
I say if you're going to read something, don't read it. Don't read Alan Moore's version of it first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I grew up with Lynn Wayne's Swamp Thing. Can't read it now.
Right.
Because once Alan Moore put his stamp on it, you know, and I wish, and God help Mr. Moore, and I understand why he has such distress over the comic, movie, TV. Is there anything he doesn't have distress over?
His beard.
Okay. Oopie. But God help him, he has a good reason for these things, but you know, you come in, you completely change everything about shit, and then it pisses you off, and you don't want to have nothing to do with it. Thank you for leaving treadmarks on our stuff, but don't want to own up to it because they all pissed you off. So I'm like, I would like to see the Marvel Man too, but unfortunately, I've read some of that older stuff. I've had people bring me some of that Marvel Man stuff that was written, and I'm like, yeah, this is good, but I just read Alan Moore stuff, and I can't go back.
Well, on the bright side, a lot of the people that if this movie were to be made would not have read the Alan Moore stuff first. They would be, ooh, Disney Pixar presents, and go see it.
You know, I'm wondering if they know what they got, because Marvelman was such a big geek purchase, mm-hmm. and for them it's probably something like, oh, they got a property. This might, you know, hold back the production of it, I think, the reprinting of it, only because they just probably don't know what they got.
No. No, the big properties that have been purchased by Marvel are on the top of Disney's list, okay? Because they also want to know whether or not it's viable for Disney to put their stuff into Marvel, like the cross-gen stuff that was purchased back in the day. You know, now they could somewhat easily, you know, put that under a Marvel tag. Like, if you want to put a Bat-Azad as an icon book or something like that, you can go ahead and do that.
Wait a minute. Marvel has cross-gen?
Well, the Disney stuff that was purchased from cross-gen, yes. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how much of it actually was purchased, but I know for certain a Bat-Azad and at least one other title was purchased from cross-gen by Disney, and they put out a bunch of like prose novels and I think one or two comics based on cross-gen's Bat-Azad.
Okay. You gave me such hope. I was thought Wade or Rat done by the guys who did Afro Samurai. Because that's a perfect animation style for Wade or Rat.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. But I don't know. I don't know if that's ever gonna happen.
Or if the sci-fi epic comes back and someone says, "Hey, you know that negation thing?" Now that would be a nice little story.
Yeah. Okay. Whoever's doing origami during the podcast, please stop. Thank you. Okay. Good. Well, Brent, what do you think? Would you actually want to see a Marvel Man movie? I mean, have you read any of the Marvel Man stuff? I never even asked.
I haven't read anything. I'd like to see that stuff published first.
Yeah, well, specifically the Miracle Man stuff, right?
Yeah,
all right.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, the Marvel Man stuff wouldn't be bad because I went into it knowing that, A, this is the stuff that Alan Moore based his thing on, and B, this is supposed to be Captain Marvel, and I'm like, I have an appreciation for Captain Marvel. But the Marvel Man stuff is like, as I always say with any British properties, British got balls. Because they take you into places you know Americans will never take you. And the Marvel Man stuff, especially because this is aimed towards kids, takes you into places that are like, wow, did they just write that for this? Whoa, did that just happen in this comic book?
Yeah, if only they'd take themselves into dentists.
It's just some fascinating ways they write this stuff. And even the 2000 AD stuff, whoa! Mm-hmm. There's some stuff in there that goes on. I'm like, and this is aimed towards a young market? I guess British trust their children to have more intelligence than Americans do.
And that's why they're smarter than
us. They're smarter than us? Is that what you're saying?
If they're so smart, how can we escape them as colonies? But yeah. I'm just saying.
That was like 400 years. That was like 8,000 years ago.
Yeah, and we're still here, right?
Yeah, well, we saved their ass in World War III.
Well, they saved our ass in World War V.
Oh, snap. All right, let's get some final comments on the Disney thing so we can go into the actual topic at hand, which Brent will cover a little bit here. So give us some outlook here. Give us what you think might be happening in the next year or so under the new Disney umbrella, and we'll roll on from there a little bit. Whether you think the Max line is let me know whether or not you think there's going to be any maybe censoring of Marvel a little bit, considering that they do have stuff like the Max line out there, but meanwhile, you know, there are film subsidiaries that make pretty edgy movies over at Disney, so I doubt that stuff's going to go away myself. But what do you guys think? Umar, give me your next 3-year perspective on the Disney Marvel thing, what we should expect to see.
I think this is going to allow the movie thing is going to keep going. I think we're going to get more animations, and hopefully sooner or later, some Marvel properties will be married with Pixar, and that's what I hope to see.
All right, Gabe.
I'm one of those looking at this as bad. I do think that there is going to be censoring. The fact that this was such a public purchase, the fact that everybody knows now that Disney bought out Marvel, you got to remember how the 80s were at times when you had all these parent groups who were just leeching onto things just to have a cause. Now, imagine you're this parent who hates Disney You're going to go into a comic book store just to badmouth Disney and then pick up a Deadpool book or pick up a Max book and say, well, this is what Disney's doing. Look what they're doing to our children. And they're going to have another soapbox to stand on.
Well, okay. See, here's my disagreement with what you're saying right there. Marvel Comics are not going to say Disney presents Deadpool. Okay.
No, but I'm not saying that that's going to be in the title, but the fact that it was, everybody knows now.
No. And don't ever say everybody knows, okay? Because just because it's been in the news doesn't mean everybody gives a damn or everybody even realizes about this stuff, okay? Because in a comic shop, you walk in, it's still going to be a Marvel comic, okay? You ask, Wendy Grainerchuk in North Carolina about Marvel Comics, she might say Iron Man movie, blah, 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 but she might not even know about the Disney thing yet because, you know, it's been 2 days.
And Gabe, let me point out to you, I was watching Justice League and Batman animated series and Superman for a long time. I didn't know Warner Brothers owned DC until I started podcasting.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. We look at things a little bit differently here because we talk about it on a regular basis. We're on forums. We're on podcasts. You know, we go to the comic shops and all this. But average Bumble Joe ain't going to know this stuff.
It was in the papers, sir.
Yeah, and let's remember how few people read the papers these days.
I read the paper.
Yes, you're special.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Special Ed.
Let's get Brent's final thoughts on the Marvel Disney shebang.
He's dumbfounded.
Brent. But yeah, I mean, we'll talk about a little bit more even.
Well, here goes an aspect we're not even thinking about.
Go ahead.
Now, Marvel has been licensing out its figure property, its action figure property.
Mm-hmm.
And Disney, I do believe Disney likes to hold that stuff close to its chest.
That's Mattel, right, that they use?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mattel, they licensed out to McFarlane's company. And, HeroClix is gone now, so.
Wait a second.
No, HeroClix is dead.
HeroClix is dead, yeah, pretty much. I mean, well,
so what does this mean for the action figure property?
Well,
it's probably going to like the other things. Once the contract ends, it's going to go to straight. You might even see a Disney crossover with X-Men.
Is it Mattel or Hasbro?
I think it's Mattel.
I think it's Mattel too. Yeah, I thought it was Mattel.
Because you guys don't work in the same world I work in. I mean, live in. They have been doing Transformers Disney crossover figures for last year. Yeah, there's a Donald Duck and there's an Donald Duck's coming out. There's an Optimus there's an Optimus Mouse out. So you can see like don't be surprised if you see like Disney themed X-Men figures.
It is Hasbro, by the way.
It was Hasbro.
Yeah,
okay.
It was Toy Biz until 2006, and then Hasbro got the license. Mattel has DC's license.
Okay.
But
isn't that DC Direct now?
No, it's two separate things.
Okay.
Yeah. But even going with that, I wouldn't be worrying too much about that because while Disney is in house with their figures, they have done other action figures outside of Disney's own line. You know, I like the Japanese toys that get imported, like the sculptures that are out of the regular Disney house and stuff like that. So it wouldn't be too much of a surprise if they do just stick with Hasbro. But then again, you know, the license has switched already once from Toy Biz to Hasbro, so it could happen at least.
And if it does that mean that all those figures that are in existence now will become sudden collectibles?
It's the same thing about the Toy Biz figures, though. I mean, I have a Toy Biz Deadpool and a Toy Biz Ultron on my wall right now that, cost a pretty penny on eBay. I mean, I paid like $60 for my Deadpool because it's out of print. I mean, that much is not really going to change too much anymore.
I know. Well, we are the ones who actually understand how the collector's market work. We didn't get sucked up in the 90s thing.
Right, yeah. All right, but
okay. I own foil covers, but I thought they were pretty.
I have 20 copies of Dark Park number one.
Oh yeah, you and Raph.
It's me, Raph, and Ron Richards. We own all of them.
You own all of them, right? Exactly. Let me borrow one of these days. All right, Brent, you back?
Yep.
Okay, good. All right, let's get your final thoughts on the whole Disneyification of Marvel with Mickey Mouse and the whatnot.
I just really think it's going to be really interesting over the next few years. That's all I can really say. I mean, at this point, we've pretty much said that predictions are moot because you're not going to see anything for a few years. Mm-hmm. And who knows? Maybe in a few years, they might decide that they're just going to own it and let Marvel do their thing,
yeah,
rather than trying to implement them into the Disney universe. But you never know. I mean, these contracts have to play out. And until that happens, we're really not going to see any effects, I don't think.
Well,
question. Yeah. When is the next Kingdom of Hearts coming out?
Next Kingdom Hearts, I think, is coming out next year, I think.
It'd be interesting to see if they put any Marvel characters in there.
You never know. Like, Dr. Doom is a playable character, but... playing off what you said, give me a yes or a no whether you agree with my statement here. Disney is going to be more less on hand with Marvel than Warner Brothers is with DC.
I think so
as well. I definitely think so, because Warner Brothers sort of handicaps DC and stops them from doing a lot of things that they really want to do. I don't think Disney's going to be that stupid. At least I hope not. What's everybody else think about that?
And when you got a public image, you got a public image.
What do you mean?
Disney's always going to have that cookie cutter, just for children's image.
No, but if
they have to cut their nose to spite their face, they might actually have to do a couple things.
Well, I'll say again what I said before. As long as Marvel Comics don't say Disney Presents on them, you're fine. You know, I mean, Disney produced the Narnia movies. They produced No Country for Old Men, for God's sakes. You know, they do stuff out of the regular Disney realm all the time under their other film subsidiaries. So why can't Marvel Entertainment become one of those subsidiaries? Umar,
I'm telling you, Emma Frost is going to be wearing clothes.
Finally.
Yeah, you know they're going to be firing all anybody who draws a woman that looks like a woman's get fired. That's it.
North Star is going to go back in the closet. You know, I mean, all this stuff is just going to no.
Black Panther's going to be white.
No, it's Disney. He'll get himself a white woman.
And by the way, the Thing is no longer Jewish.
Oi.
I mean, it's only
Wolverine
crazy
is going to be played by Tim Allen in the next movie.
It's only crazy because some of the crazy things that Disney has done over the years... I mean, I honestly thought the CGI-ing of Lindsay Lohan's breasts was a rumor until I actually read it. I was like, wait a minute, what are you kidding me?
Yes.
Where was this?
They CGI'd in Herbie, the last one they did. They did CGI the girl's breasts down so it looked like she was still young. And I'm looking at them like, you know, Disney, people grow up, remember Annette?
You're buying it on Blu-ray, aren't you?
We have the technology. We can make them smaller.
No shit. So I'm like, I'm joking, but I can see it now, you know? All of a sudden, the X-Men are wearing baggy clothes.
No. Here's the movie that I want to see, okay? Robert Rodriguez produced, Disney presents Thing with the Thing Ring Do Your Thing.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
What?
Yeah. Have a kids movie based on the 1970s Thing cartoon where he had a ring that made him transform into the Thing. Thing Ring, do your thing. He transformed into the Thing and kick ass, and then he'd be back to being regular old Ben.
You own those three episodes, don't you?
I own all five of them. Yeah, no, I do not actually own them, but I remember watching them on Boomerang.
I can see it now. The next Fantastic Four movie, they'll be Herbie because they don't want kids to light themselves on fire.
Yeah.
That wasn't the reasoning, damn it.
In the 70s cartoon, that is why they use
that is not. That's an urban legend. The reason they couldn't use Human Torch is because he was licensed to another property at the time.
Spider-Man, right?
No. They wanted to do a Human Torch. They were considering doing, I think, a Human Torch TV show at one point, and that the license was still under that.
Live action?
They might have been, actually, now that I think.
Oh, like you see the special effects on that.
Yeah. Check out Comic Book Urban Legends Reveal for that. Now that'll have the real answers behind that. But yeah, no, oh, okay. What you're talking about is a myth. Although I like yours better. better reasoning. All right, let's stop talking about this. Let's go on to the actual topic at hand, which Brent will cover because he's the one who wrote it. Brent, the floor is yours.
All right. Now we're going to talk about creator turnover. And this was posted a long time ago. Not really a long time ago, but I thought it was a good topic. So we're going to talk about it. Let me just read what I wrote June 30th. Oh, my goodness gracious.
It's been that long, right?
Hello? Did I lose people?
No, we're here. We're here. Hello. Hi. How are you? We're here.
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here. We're here, dude. We're here.
Oh, you're here.
Yeah, we're here.
You totally blacked out for a second.
We were giving you the floor.
That's yeah, cool. We're paying it. We're being quiet so you can talk.
Yeah,
but no, but it went absolutely silent. Usually there's like a slight hiss in the background. Huh.
Well, that's weird.
All right, I take over.
Right, we don't need that. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
All right. In today's market of comics, I just lost it.
In today's market of comics, Disney owns Disney owns Marvel. All right, come on.
In today's market of comics, we have a mixture of two realities. Some titles seem like they are constantly in flux every year or so, while others seem stagnant. Do you prefer shorter or longer runs on comics today? Would you rather a Geoff Johns come on your favorite character and develop the world, or would you have a Mark Miller come in and give it a jolt to the arm, only to leave when he's done? Does perpetual turnover help or hurt the comics in today's marketplace? Is it an editorial issue with sales, or do creators just get bored? Do creators really only have one good story in them per character, thus all of the jumping around? Tell us your thoughts. So we'll go around the room.
You did a lot there. I gotta take that.
Well,
in.
We're not gonna go all at once, but so Umar, what do you prefer, shorter or longer runs? Pretty much.
Wow. And that's a good question. What I
and
prefer?
That would lead to the Jeff. Would you rather have like Geoff Johns long run, like on Justice Society and JSA, or would you have a Mark Miller 12-issue Wolverine?
I'm sorry, I would prefer the long runs. While I like Mark Miller, he comes onto a book, gets things started, and you know, vanishes. A new artist comes and says, let's ignore everything Mark Miller has done. Or doesn't, I mean, not really, but it feels that way sometimes. I like the longer runs because, you know, the creators know the characters. You could tell they're not trying to make up for. They don't have nothing to. They don't have to go back to anything. They just know what they're doing with the characters and they're doing. I'm always prefer a longer run. I prefer a Peter David run on Hulk or Geoff Johns runs on. Is there anything he's not writing?
Do you think it produces better comics or just?
I think in the end it does. I think you have to mix it up. You don't got a choice in this business. You can't, you know, you have to move your A-listers onto other things at some point because it can get stagnant with a lot of writers. But the longer runs just seem to work more effectively.
Okay. Now see, I don't exactly agree with that. I think that certain shorter runs can work. Like, with the type of thing that Mark Miller does, you know, obviously with Wolverine, that's not exactly the best example because that one's not even done yet, and yet the Wolverine title is done with that. They've moved on. but I'll give you an example of Fantastic Four. You know, Fantastic Four, he was on for, what, how many issues? What, like 12, 16, something like that? And now he's off of it. But while he was on it, he told four pretty good stories, and, you know, they'll be traded. They have been traded. And you'll be able to go and see on the shelf, oh, look, Mark Miller and Brian Hitch. Awesome. Go ahead and pick that up. Enjoy it. And they're very insulated. They're not the type of story that's going to change the face of the Marvel U or of the Fantastic Four even. But they're still there for any writer to go back on and continue to bring up whenever they want to. Like for example, well, in fact, perfect example now, Dale Eaglesham, just to go for Fantastic Four. He's taken some of the ideas that Mark Miller worked on. He's taken some of the ideas that even...
You mean Hickman.
That's what I meant to say. Eaglesham is with the other guy, so Hickman would be the other guy. Hickman and Eaglesham are working on it right now. They're taking some of the ideas that Miller started, even some of the ideas that Dwayne McDuffie started, and moving that on for their potentially long run. So sometimes short runs can help out long runs in the end. So that's why I'm perfectly fine with the short run here and there, as long as you also have some long runs to balance that out.
Let's see, but then you get a Mark Miller on Ultimates, two great runs, and then you get a Loeb.
And bad comics happen. You know, what else do you say to that? I mean, really, now, bad comics happen.
Because in terms of long run, in the at about 93, 94, I wanted to start a campaign to tell Chris Claremont, write something else. Would you? I mean, and he still, there has to be a home for comic writers that say you cannot live off your past stuff. And I'm not going to mention any names, Byrne, Claremont. I mean, I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to, you know, get anybody in any trouble, but you got to stop living off your past, for Christ's sake. Move on. Jesus, I mean, how many X-Men, you don't got any more X-Men stories in you, dude. You keep telling the same story.
Well, look at Wolfman. Wolfman went back to Nightwing and to Titans.
But at least he tried to move on.
He went back to the well, and it just dried up real fast.
But Wall of Wolfman in that case was the Michael Corleone case. Every time he tried to get out, they sucked him back in. So that wasn't a case of he kept harping on. Remember my Teen Titans? Mm-hmm. You know, but with Claremont, it's like, well, remember that run on the X-Men I did? Yes, we do. And we wish you'd stop.
Well. But then you've also got it like a guy like Mark Miller that, yeah, he had those two runs on Ultimates, and now he's technically back on Ultimates again with Ultimate Avengers. And the first issue so far, pretty damn awesome. So I'm going to stick with it, even though it's $3.99, and it kills me to actually do so. In fact, I might even just pick it up and trade. I'm thinking about it. But, you know, still, it's good comic books. Isn't that what we need? Good comic books to keep us coming?
Well, true. That's why I say I can be either or on it. It's really a hard argument because either or, it depends. It could work. You know, like I've seen short runs work fine. I've seen long runs work great. I've seen long runs not work so well. And I've seen short runs that make me go, what was that about?
I think the situation depends on the writer. Let's say Ian Levinson is going to do Power Girl.
Oh, really? Sweet. And, awesome.
Yeah, and he's going to have a 12-issue run. Does he have a 12-issue arc? Or does he have 3-4-issue arcs that he's going to do?
Well, I think
it's just have a story you're telling. If you're doing a long-term story, then yeah, you're placing yourself in a corner there. Because if your first 6-5 aren't that good, the rest of your run is going to can.
I have a 3-issue story called The Search for the Boob Window.
Oh, there you go. Battle for the Boob Window.
Battle for the Boob Window. Holy shit. Yeah, I didn't mean to take the 4 from you, Brent, by the way. It's back to you.
It's perfectly fine.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, come on. Give your opinions on it.
You know, I think it just depends. I think it really depends on the story. I did, you know, we had, like, I guess Wolverine's like the best example of this previously, before it became Dark Wolverine. You had, before Civil War, you had somebody come on and do 6 issues. And you had Civil War, you had Guggenheim come on with Ramos and did, you know, 7-8 issues. Then somebody else came along, and then Guggenheim came back and did another 6 issues with Chaykin. And then somebody else came along, and now you got Miller taking it over, and then they shifted it to a whole other character. I mean, but that to me is like the perpetual creator turnover book. That book, Wolverine, mm-hmm. You know, for the past 3 or 4 years, it has not had a steady story. It has not had a steady creative team. I mean, the only really steady story, I guess you could say, is between, you know, creating a link between both of Guggenheim's runs.
Man, stop getting kidnapped.
I have a pretty mouth.
Well, the comment, yeah. In fact, bringing up Guggenheim's runs is a good point there, because there was a break in between the two of them, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So you had to basically say, for example, if you weren't reading the first Guggenheim run, and you come onto Wolverine after that, and then all of a sudden you've got this Guggenheim run, and you're wondering what the hell's going on. What do you do if you can't find a trade paperback?
You're going to have to wait.
Yeah. Huh.
But did the Guggenheim runs
broken up by some one-shots?
Yeah. But were the Guggenheim runs really dependent on each other?
I thought so, yeah.
Definitely, yeah, because it followed up on the fact that Wolverine couldn't get killed. I mean, you had the Civil War run, and then the last issue after that, after it lost the Civil War banner that covered half the cover, was basically explaining why Wolverine survived being burnt.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't this before or after the Loeb?
This was... Oh, I think this was...
Loeb had, had a run on it, too.
That was after Loeb,
yeah.
right?
After
Lord, God, there was another run. Wow. Okay, you know what? Color books. That's it. It's the color books, because I love the Hulk. I just don't get it, though. I don't get how it's in the top five every time he writes it. I don't get it. What?
No, you forget. Loeb was the guy who made Wolverine evolutionized from a cat.
Wait, was it a cat or was it a wolf?
I thought it was a
wolf.
Isn't
it a cat? Oh, no. I thought it was a cat.
No, it was a wolf. Yeah.
We'll have to check that.
I don't know. But...
We're ignoring it for now.
One day, Ian, you have to talk about the topic of creator egos.
Oh dear God, yes.
I got a big ego.
I am the type of person who can do whatever he wants to any character he wants. Please give me a contract.
But really, can you argue with him? Like I said, it's not so
his
much
sales back
run,
it up.
It's the sales figures.
Well, but did Jeff Loeb's Wolverine run actually sell? I don't know. It did?
Yes, it did. Remember, it had that great beginning. Wolverine walks to the house, jumps right on Sabretooth. Then it went into things. You're like, wait a minute. What? It was like Dragon Ball Z. He threw the punch, and then a six-issue story took place before the punch connected.
Ow.
That kind of hurt me, too.
I still haven't actually come down from that punch, by the way. I'm still floating in the clouds. I'm waiting for the next spirit bomb.
You know, I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm just thinking there's a long run that I wish would. It's going to be a long run because, like I said, I published the top 25 sales figures on my, and I'm looking like Hulk. And I love the Hulk. That's the hero. That's my main hero. But I'm like, this is selling that well? Really?
Well, all right. Well, you know what? Let me ask Brent then. Are your favorite runs like long or short? Like currently, like right now, like in today's climate. The question I was asking you, and Gabe, is somebody vacuuming in the background or something?
No one's doing anything in the house.
Man, like, what the fuck is wrong with your mic?
You know, I am gonna go into an airtight room now.
Okay, you do that. Do that, please, for the love of God. All right.
Don't flush.
while he's doing that, Brent, the question that I was asking you while you weren't here was, what are some of your favorite runs? Like, I mean, do you, like right now in the current climate of Marvel, DC, whatever, like, I mean, are you more of a fan of the big runs that are going on right now or the shorter runs that are still really happening?
I mean, I'm really a fan of, like, Fables right now. It's killing it for me. I just got the last trade that really didn't excite me because it was right after the big war.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, obviously that's a long run because it's a creator-owned thing. But,
right.
You know, I'm loving Morrison on Batman. I really can't argue with what he's doing. I think it's just fucking fantastic. And I'm pretty much loving all of the Batman. But that's more recent. Started up.
Uh-huh.
It seems like everything in DC has been in flux right now, except for Green Lantern and Wonder Woman.
Yeah, well, Judd Winnick is leaving Batman already.
Right, but I think he's switching off on and off with Tony Daniel. But, I mean, the only things at DC that have been stable have been Green Lantern with Geoff Johns and Wonder Woman with Gail Simone and Secret Six. But, I mean, Gail Simone is the one who came up with that, so that makes understood. But
yeah. The
main characters, Justice League keeps getting a new team. JSA just got a new team. You know, Outsiders seems like it can't keep a membership, much less a team, as well as, you know, the title of its own book. Like, make up your mind already.
Yeah, and yet Green Lantern Corps and Green Lantern have had the same creators now for ages.
But I'm finally glad that Patrick Gleason finally learned how to do a monthly book.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's pouring out this great, great stuff, and it made me so frustrated in the Sinestro War to see, like, Patrick Gleason with tons of Angel and Zeta and mm-hmm. Dustin Nguyen, as much as I love him on Streets of Gotham, just ruined the flow of the book for me. But I'm loving how he finally learned, you know, he figured it out.
Right. Yeah, he's been knocking it out of the park, man. But what were you going to say, Gabe?
I think that's also a situation where it's the discretion of the guy who's following him. You know, Morrison had that run on X-Men. And as soon as he got off, just to ignore him, what he wrote.
Wait, say again. You broke up there for a minute.
Senses. Depending on how much. Shit. Huh?
Wait, what? Fuck.
For me, it sounded like he was going in and out.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on here. Wait, shit. Something's going on. Oh, wow.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, we can hear you. Skype just did something really weird. Like, really weird. Like, my window went away. What the hell just happened? That's weird. No. Everything's fine now, but, like, the window for Skype disappeared and then came back.
See, you're just having all these type of problems because I'm here.
Yeah, man, I blame you. Seriously. I totally blame you right now.
Blame the Puerto Ricans.
Of course.
Your antivirus didn't kick on or something like that, did it?
I don't think so, no. In fact, let me look at that right now. No, it's right here. It's running like it normally does. All right, but anyway, yeah, repeat what you were saying before, Gabe.
I was saying what usually depends on the person's, how important a person's run. God damn, I forgot now.
The person who follows the run, you were saying.
The person who follows the run tends to either mess up the person's previous run or make it even better by continuing the story. Some guys go on after a specific writer and just ignore everything. Look what happened with Morrison on X-Men. Morrison leaves. I know that was an editorial choice, but they decide, you know, to completely ignore everything that was in those arcs.
Which is a decision I would have loved to understood. What your book was a top seller. Every issue, even the one that took 6 years to come out, the last one, top seller. But then it ends, and you're like, okay, let's scrap it. I just did not get that. I was like, what? Maybe Disney bought Marvel earlier than we thought.
The makings were done already. Okay.
I was going to say that in terms of what I like better, it's hard to say because it's a mixed bag for me. I'm not a Done in One fan, but a couple of my favorite books are very short runs. Wolverine First Class, I think if people think there's no more fun in comics, they need to read that comic because it's a lot of fun. But then Fables, I agree, Brent's killing it for me. I'm a Bendis fan. I don't care what people say. I like Talking Heads. So I follow him on almost everything.
Right, and think about how Bendis' Daredevil to this day is still a lot of people's favorite. You know, and that was a really, really long run, but it sort of set the table for what was going to happen in Daredevil after that.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think helps or hurts the comic industry? Do you think the shorter runs help them? I mean, obviously there's an advantage of, you know, every 6 months being able to hype a new team coming on a book. It's almost like a new number one. You know, or would you rather have like story events like, you know, Green Lantern building up to Blackest Night obviously got a lot of hype, but I mean the solicits weren't really like new team, new creative team, jump on now.
Well, sometimes that does hurt the book, I think, because a lot of the times the hype doesn't actually live up to how good the book is. You know, like I mean think about Fantastic, yeah. Like Fantastic Four when it comes to, you know, Miller and Hitch. I liked it, but a lot of people didn't. And, you know, it left a lot of, like, long-term Fantastic Four fans kind of annoyed because they broke the flow of the book to, you know, put in this Miller-Hitch run, again, which I liked, but not everybody did. And, you know, it sort of left them cold in the end. Now they're moving on to the next thing.
I like the Miller-Hitch thing, but I think it really slowed down when they took a few issues to... rather than have a continuation of the story arc, they had that little Christmas story and all that, and in not Italy, but Scotland or wherever they were,
right?
Ireland or something like that. I think that really killed the flow of the book, as well as that's when the delays really hit as well.
Oh yeah. And go ahead.
I think constantly changing teams like every 6 months or so may actually hurt, because you kind of want there to be a status quo for a character. And if you keep on changing the writer every 6 months, the status quo is going to go flip-flop, depending on the writer.
Well, I love how the comic companies seem to think that the status quo being the same for 12 months is too long. Yeah. Or, you know, such and such has been this way for 3 years. I mean, okay, 3 years is a long number, but or 2 years, but 24 issues or 36 issues is really not that much. You know what I mean? In the long term. Mm-hmm. And if you read them all in a span, it's not that long. You know what I mean? So sometimes I think that them going, the status quo has been like this for so long. Like, you know, Bucky's only been Captain America for 2 years. 25 issues.
Wow, I mean, 2 years.
It feels like just yesterday I was reading that beginning of that story. It doesn't feel like that long ago to me. So for them to transition back to Cap already is almost feels like I didn't get enough Bucky stories. We didn't really explore the, you know, the potential of his character.
Because Bucky isn't Captain America.
Okay, understood. But I mean, I just feel like there are still more stories to be told. But because of the constant creator turnover and this mentality of status quo is bad, and 2 years is a long time in comic books for some reason. You know, we got a president for 4 years, sometimes eight. It's not, mm-hmm. you know, and even then you're like, oh, it's only been 4 years, you know, like if you have a good president, but, you know, Bush, we're like, oh my God, 8 years.
Well, they tend to give a guy a year. If the book's not selling, they take him off after 6 months.
Yeah. Well, and plus, Umar, you saying that Bucky is not Cap, I don't buy that. Because, I mean, that would be like saying that Ted Kord isn't Blue Beetle because Dan Garrett came before him.
No.
Why not?
I don't accept. Listen, Bucky isn't Cap, but Wally was the Flash.
But there was Barry before
worked,
him.
But if you had Bucky remain Cap for the next 20 years, and you had some good creators come on and do really good stories, you might change your mind. But because it's only been 2 years, and we've had 70 years of Steve Rogers, you know, you're inclined to a different opinion.
Okay, but see, the problem...
And Steve wasn't always Cap.
It's like Dick being Batman. Here's the problem. Dick's origin story, Batman works as an origin story. The Batman works because of where he came from and what brought him to being Batman. Captain America works because where he came from and what brought him to being Captain America. Whereas the Flash, he's a science hero. And really, you could put anybody in that science hero. Blue Beetle, science hero. You could put anybody in that costume if you got a good writer. For me, personally, I do not buy Batman. If there's no Bruce, I don't care. I don't care if Dick is Batman. I don't care if Grant Morrison stops taking whatever drugs he takes and start telling a straight story. Nothing is going to make me buy Batman without Bruce in Under the Cowl. And also, because you have I don't care about continuity. I so disagree with the argument that, well, people can't get into a comic book because there's 100 years of continuity. You know, I watched the first James Bond I watched was Thunderball. I didn't have to watch every other James Bond to get James Bond. I don't think anyone has to. A couple of comic books, boom, you've got it. So I don't care how you write it. There are certain characters that are iconic because of A, their origin, and B, what that origin has made them. Dick isn't Batman because he does not have the same exact origin. There's something that makes Batman Batman, and there's something that makes Captain America Captain America. And
why don't you care about Dick? I don't understand.
No, I don't care about Dick. I just don't want him to be Batman. I want Bruce. I like Bruce. I don't care how long Bruce is. I say if the stories are stagnant, change the damn writer.
I don't care what people say. I love Dick. Oops.
I care about Dick. That's where I was originally going.
I'm sorry. You're I'm going strictly Dickly.
By Dick, I mean Richard Grayson, I swear.
You know, Spider-Man, I don't necessarily – well, okay, I don't agree at all what was done with Spider-Man.
Well, Ben Reilly, Ben Reilly was
right,
my
exactly.
Spider-Man, okay, for a while. No, I'm sorry. I'll say it time and again. I was okay with Ben Reilly as Spider-Man. I enjoyed that shit. It was fun. It was new. It was what I wanted out of a Spider-Man comic when I was growing up.
And apparently you were one of the three people who were buying it, because let's not forget what happened.
Oh, yeah, I was one of those three people. That's why they're bringing back the whole idea of it, and that's why they're bringing back the whole Clone Saga thing again into continuity right now with Kane and all that shit coming back.
Well,
but this side, they're gonna tell it the way that they wanted to.
When Disney forces Quesada to put that marriage back, I'll be buying Spider-Man again. But until then...
Yeah.
But still, but like I'm saying that I think they're just certain characters that are set in their icons, like it or not. I like the stories with Captain America. I keep buying it because I buy comic books with a partner, and he won't stop.
Your life partner.
I don't go by so him good. Because he won't stop buying X-Men no matter who writes it. Mm-hmm. So
what about a Rhodey as Iron Man then? I mean, are you not okay with that?
Well, see, okay, it was not so much as being okay. It was so much as it just seemed at the time it was like Marvel and DC was having this fight of which of our big characters can we make black? And, you know, I wouldn't have minded so much, but I was like, you know, I was reading it in a point of view as, gee, I want to go back to this. Let's just create a black character, Falcon, Electro guy, whatever his name is.
Electric black heroes.
Yeah, but I'm like, but yeah, I know they're all either electric or super strong and angry.
or they have a skateboard.
Oh God, like Rocket Racer.
No, but Oh yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. Rocket Racer. But still, but like I said, Iron Man story, it was written so well. Tony Stark becomes a boozer. The only one around to put on the armor is Rhodey. Whereas Green Lantern was like, here, take the ring. I'm like, what? Where'd that come from?
But you know? But that's how Green Lantern happened in the first place.
Now, I think it could work in the long run. Like I said, I don't know if Batman is doing good stories or not, mm-hmm. but I'm sure that a good story is like, okay, I know that a lot of fanboys made excuses and started buying Spider-Man again. So I'm positive there's some good stories in there, even though it still sounds like excuses to me.
Right.
Because, you know, because we're fanboys, it's like the $3 thing. I'm not buying it. Okay, well, I'll get the Avengers. Well, I'm not. Okay, I'll get Annihilation. I'm not buying it. $3 is too. Okay, I'll get that one.
Yeah.
You know, we're fanboys. We're going to get it. I think Jamal Igo made the best point. If the suckers went up to $5, who'll be grimacing, but...
but we'll probably still be buying them because we're suckers.
We're fanboys. What do you want from my life?
Well,
I'll be doing a sports podcast from then on.
You'll be doing the Archie podcast.
Speaking of which, the Sporting Goods Episode 3 was recorded not too long ago and should be out on the Geeks Unite feed by the time this episode is out on Comic Timing. Okay, but bringing it back to the original question that Brent was asking about the, you know, today's marketplace, I think it really does depend on which comic book it is. Because, like, with Spider-Man, I mean, I don't even know, what kind of a run do you even call that right now, Brent, brand new day? Because, I mean, is it even a run or is it just multiple people telling the same story?
I would consider it a run because it's a gaggle of writers following the same thing.
Right.
You know, there's an overall storyline that they're following, and it really, to be honest, I can't. Other than the art, I really can't tell one issue from another.
I would say it's a series of mini runs.
Mini runs? I had the mini runs once. It had me at the toilet all day.
I would disagree with the mini runs because it's not one writer telling a story that they want or have to tell that they came up with themselves. It's more like a group of writers getting around and going, I want this, you know, what about this? And we could throw this in and then that and then this.
Can it be like 52 words, a kibosh?
And it's like an assignment.
Yeah.
Well, and slowly,
I would call all of it a run.
But status quo was coming back to Spider-Man. The web of Spider-Man was just announced.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling by January we'll be hearing about a new idea, Spectacular Spider-Man.
No. Web of Spider-Man is Spider-Man Family repurposed. It's the exact same thing Spider-Man Family was. It's not a new book. People keep saying that, and I keep telling them, no, that's not what it is. It's just Spider-Man Family under a new title. That's it.
They gave it an old title and had give it ties to Brand New Day.
Yeah.
Run.
Now, here's my question. Spider-Man has a family? There's a Spider-Boy and a Spider... Oh, there's
Spider-Ham.
Yeah,
right. Don't Spider Mouse.
Don't joke because I think there were actually Spider Ham stories told in Spider Man families. There you go. But no, Spider Girl was in it.
No, I remember now. And the 18 Spider Women.
Yes, all 18 of them. That's the way they all became the Spider Woman bunch.
But if they have
Spider Woman bunch,
16?
The woman bunch. That's the way they be. Yeah, stop.
Yeah, good, but. And for the whole runs thing in the marketplace too, like short runs might generate a large amount of sales on a book, but the minute that short run's over, a bunch of people jump ship. You know, like the guys who were on Astonishing X-Men for Whedon, not everybody stuck around for Ellis. You know, that's just not the way it works. Similarly, people might have jumped on Fantastic Four for Miller and left when Hickman came. Even if it's a good story, they're just Miller fans that are following him wherever he goes.
And I think one of the more perfect examples of that is The Spirit. Once Dorman Cook left The Spirit, I'm pretty sure that book lost like maybe $10,000. I mean, 10,000 sales.
Yep.
Well, look at Buffy. I think Josh Whedon has written 2 issues, but that's still a strong seller. And it's been jumping writers for, I think they get like 4 to 6 issue arcs. Mm-hmm.
But then again,
those are the Broncos, man. Those are the Broncos.
But Buffy works like the television show did, because that had multiple writers. It's just Joss Whedon's plot. As long as it says Joss Whedon, you know, plot director or whatever, the Whedon fanboys will pick it up.
So how come it's not working for Angel?
Because Angel sucks.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I heard it's really bad.
Yeah. I mean, just like with anything. And, you know, I mean, Brent can back this up. Anybody can back this up. If it's a good story, we'll read it. But even if it's by a good creator and it sucks nuts, we're going to stop picking it up.
Well, actually, also, I think it suffers because of the split in the licensing deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, because they can't use every character they want to. You know? But they've been getting around that, though, a little bit, because, like, Angel showed up in, like, flashbacks and stuff sometimes in Buffy. You know, depending on the issue, but whatever. Okay. All right, I think we've taken this to bed here, so what's next, Brent?
I think he wasn't Angel. I think he was Onhead. They
Onhead, the Mexican equivalent?
Yes.
See, Buffy, we need to go to the store right now.
She picked him up in front of Home Depot.
We need to go get some Mexican soda, man. That's what I live on. But you're a vampire, Angel. Yeah, man, I'm a vampire for Mexican soda.
See, they should have done it the Dracula way. It's Lagna. It's Legna. Give him a Gochi. He's the ultimate version. He's the ultimate universe angel.
All right, what else we got, Brent?
Do you think that creators really only have one good story in them per character, and thus all the jumping around, or do the, you know, I don't know, occasionally we've had multiple ideas, like Uma pointed out earlier, but I mean, in general, do you think that creators can really stay on a book for 50 or 100 issues?
Depends on the creator. If you're talking G.F. Johns, obviously yes.
Yeah.
If you're talking Chris Claremont, obviously no.
There are just some guys who can stay on the book for longer and not get bored by it. I think it also depends on like how much a writer enjoys a specific character.
Hey, I mean, even Stan Lee left Fantastic Four eventually, you know.
After 100 issues.
Right. Because, I mean, long runs can happen, but after a while, you're just going to look at yourself and you're going to think, do I really want to get up tomorrow and write this book? And if you say no, don't write it. You know, pass it off to somebody else. Find yourself something new that you really want to work
right
on.
Right, pass.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, start. Exactly. but you know, like with Brubaker, he told the story he wanted to tell on Daredevil. How many issues was he on that? At least 25, 30, right?
I think you're about right. It's basically only been, what, 3 guys on Daredevil since they relaunched it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you can't really tell because they can't keep the number straight.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I thought they had a Daredevil 500 with a Michael Turner cover a couple years ago, and now they're on 600.
You know what? I have to do a new rule. New rule. The next time you give a big number like that, prove it.
Do it.
No,
they do.
Prove
it. They put all the covers in the back. What do you want?
So there were 499 covers?
Yeah. You didn't see that?
Yeah.
So how come they were so even? All the columns were even. I mean, last thing I heard, 499 was an odd number.
They put the cover that was on the front, too.
Oh.
Duh! And then I don't think they did all the variants.
No, they didn't. Although, wait. Because if they would have put all the variants in there, then they would have had to like put 7 extra pages in.
I would have liked to have seen them on a bigger scale or something.
That'd be nice.
We would love to have seen the zombie Daredevil variants and the ape variants.
Oh, dude. I'm remembering now when I was a kid, I used to subscribe to Sports Illustrated for Kids. And when they got to their 100th issue, they had this fold-out poster with all of the covers that were on Sports Illustrated for Kids from issue 1 until issue 100 with like all the celebrities that were on the cover and everything. And I had that up on my wall for like years after that.
You're such a geek.
Yes, I'm a geek, man. I'm a sports geek and I'm a comic geek. What can I say? But no, it was good times. They should have had a similar thing with the Daredevil and the X-Men and all that jazz when they got to their big moments. But But yeah, you know, it definitely does depend on the creator, like we've been saying, because if you're a creator that thinks he only has 6 issues with a story left in him, and you try to stay on for 40, don't. Please don't. No, stop doing that. No.
And even if you do think you got 40 issues, read your stuff and read it, you know, put it down for a month and then reread it and see if you, you know, might understand why the fans are groaning. But there are some creators who can do those short stories in a burst and then move out.
Yeah.
Like Milligan used to be like that. He used to be able to tell a story and then he could move on to the next thing. And he's pretty good at it. Like, I even with Loeb. Loeb is really good at the miniseries. The shortened, tell that story quick and then go. But mm-hmm. the long term, even though, like I said, you can't argue with the sales, but...
Yeah, who is Red Hulk? All right. Anyway,
Next issue, we promise. We'll tell you who it is. We promise. Next issue.
I'm starting to believe those internet guys that said that you know, Loeb found out that the internet found out that it was Thunderbolt Ross, and he was like, you know, screw this. I'm prolonging it as much as possible.
Oh, my God. They did an Armageddon 2000 on it? I hope that's not true.
Yeah, it was Hawk the entire time. Say again, Brent.
I think I'm still holding out for Samson or MODOK. I think MODOK is the Red Hulk.
MODOK is the Red Hulk.
Wouldn't he be in a chair?
He grows legs when he hulks out. You never know.
Smash.
You never know.
Smash bash.
Okay, well, so we got some comments here now that we're wrapping up.
Hold on a minute. I got a couple more things to say if you don't mind. All right.
Do you now?
Yeah, I got some things to say. You want to hear them or not?
Hey, he's mad as hell. He's not going to take it anymore.
Well, I was going to make one final comment before we start talking about that stuff, and that is that some people are made to write a specific character for as long as they want. Some people think they're made to write that character for as long as they want. Like, made to write the character. Dan Jurgens on Booster Gold. Okay, because he created the character. Him coming back to Booster Gold after he was done, you know, drawing all of John's issues and then just being the guy who's writing and drawing everything. It's worked really well. I think it's still a fun book, and he's doing the job right there. You know, Abnett and Lanning, they were made to write Nova and Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff like that.
They were made to write everything in space.
Yes.
Yeah, they were made to take Marvel's cosmic characters and actually do something with them.
Yes.
I heard the next book they got is Jews in Space.
Jews in Space!
History of the World Part 2, finally!
But, however, Chuck Austin... Okay, guys like Chuck Austin, who think that they've been made their entire life to write, you know, Uncanny X-Men, they go and write that, and not so much, you know? So, yeah, some people are going to have those long runs that work out really, really well, and then some people are going to have those long runs that you look back and you're like,
whoa, you didn't think Chamber was a great idea for a character?
No, I like Chamber as a character, perfectly fine, but I don't like what the hell he did to him.
I hate it. I'm just kidding.
Well, no. How about the Mary Sue that was Annie the nurse? That was actually based on Chuck Austin's wife. That's the entire reason that she wound up banging Havoc was because she was Chuck Austin's wife in real life.
That's one way to get out of the doghouse.
Ooh, ouch! Damn it!
Well, you see, like, but universally, luckily, everyone pretty much agreed with Chuck about the Chuck Austin run. Mm-hmm. I say with shame that I happen to own the Chuck Austin run, and it's one of those ones that I'm praying I can convince my partner to give away because I used to be a person who was not about the gaps, and now I'm like, I don't care. Some of these gangs gotta go.
Yeah, I don't care what the hell you do to me. You put me at gunpoint. I will not buy a Reginald Hudlin Black Panther issue. I will not. Okay, because the few issues of that I've read were just such dreck. And yet they keep him on because he's, you know, Mr. BET, and he's going to make the Black Panther, cartoon. So that's why he's still, you know, doing what he's doing with that. Even if he's going off of it now, he's still going to be the creative consultant or whatever it is. They're still going to do his plots and everything. But, you know, some people are not made to write something even though they think that they should be. Reginald Hudlin is definitely one of those, in my opinion. Agree or disagree, whatever. But I think sales also say it on that one because nobody's really buying it anymore. And I'm done. I'm done ranting now. So we have comments, don't we?
No, Ian, tell us how you really feel.
Okay. Reginald Hunwood sucks.
But has he done anything besides Black Panther?
Has Reggie Hunwood done anything other than Black Panther?
He did a short run on Marvel Knights Spider-Man after Miller left.
Yes.
And he did some of the other issues, which were atrocious, with the Pat Lee art. Oh, my goodness.
Ooh. Ouch.
The others. Oh, that was the Spider-Man thing because it was suddenly part of a Spider-God thing. Was that the other?
Something like that.
Yeah, it was the other.
Yeah, when he came from a
cocoon.
The other,
spiders aren't born in cocoons, they're born from like eggs.
Well, the other is a long list of just bad ideas that Marvel seems to think was a good idea, like the Century, and they just keep using it no matter what. I don't have a problem with the Hutler run on the Black Panther, but the other thing, I don't think anyone could have turned that turkey into something.
Yeah.
Who is the new Black Panther? Is this Sue Storm?
No.
He's his sister.
It's his sister, yeah. Yes, it's Sue Storm. Like, yeah, okay, that was the stupidest thing that they took J. Scott Campbell's art and they just kept photoshopping new faces onto it and making ads out of it, you know?
Like, that was awesome.
It was pretty dumb. It was the dumbest advertising campaign. Well, not the dumbest. I've seen dumber, but it was a pretty dumb advertising campaign.
Well,
and then you're putting in faces that you know. You're putting in people that, I mean, what they think? People who don't read comic books read this? You know what? There's another topic. You have to understand. Does the comic book industry know its market? Really? Does it? Because I'm looking at these, who is Black Panther? Well, okay, first off, since the Black Panther was reintroduced way back when, we always know he had this sister. Well, who the hell else was it going to be? I can't see Black Panther shooting lightning. What are y'all talking about?
Well, I knew the campaign went too far when they photoshopped Power Man's face onto the female Black Panther.
But they showed Kitty Pryde as Black Panther, right? Who is Black Panther? Boom Boom? Is she Black Panther?
Jubilee?
But it would have been great if it turned out to be X-23.
Oh, Lockjaw. Lockjaw, right there. Lockjaw is the Black Panther. Nuff said right there. Nuff.
I was looking at
so many black characters in the Marvel Universe.
I was looking at Felicia Harding.
Luke Cage.
Luke Cage is Black Panther.
The new Brother female Voodoo. Black Panther.
Well, it was going to be Brother Voodoo, but then they said, no, we got something else for him.
Yeah, we're gonna make him into Doctor Strange, which is pretty damn awesome, actually.
I like the concept, but calling him Brother Strange is stupid.
But he's a strange brother.
What about Strange? Yeah, well, I was gonna say, what about Strange Brother?
But no other source of Supreme
Doctor Voodoo,
Doctor anybody.
Yeah, I know.
What about Big Bad Voodoo Doctor?
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. Yes.
Yeah, but you know what that is? That's Brian Michael Bendis.
He's hanging out with Smod Voodoo Doctor.
No, Brian Michael Bendis is hanging out with Kevin Smith and smoking some. Because I'm like, Brother Voodoo? What? Really? I mean, Doctor? What the? Okay.
Papa Shango. There we go. But no, wasn't Big Bad Voodoo Daddy like a band at some point?
Actually, wasn't there a wrestler named Big Bad?
No. You're actually thinking
Daddy Weasel.
No.
Yes, it's like one of them swing bands.
Yeah.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
It's Big Daddy V. That's what it was. I'm thinking.
Yeah. Or Bam Bam.
Well, I will buy the miniseries when it comes out. So.
Yeah. Why not? All right. Let's get into the comments, why don't we? All right, Brent.
All right.
You want to read your Matthew Guy comment over there?
Well, we'll sum it up. I mean, Spider Avenger pretty much just says he likes both ways. He likes to go both ways. Skull 1366.
This is how you lose, listeners.
Says, honestly, it just boils down to who's doing it. So. He kind of goes both ways as well. Matthew Guy has...
when he goes both ways, it depends who's doing it.
Uncharacteristically short comment compared to some of the ones he's other had as well. this is actually kind of worth reading because it has details. But his kind of also just sums down to, I like it both ways. Right, so,
in the end, so what you're trying to say was that everybody who commented watches Torchwood.
Pretty much. In the end, everybody, yeah,
yes,
whatever that
yes,
is.
Yes, everybody likes it both ways in the end.
Everybody
exactly.
is torn. Everybody's torn.
Everybody's torn due to doing it both ways in the end. Okay.
You said that, not me.
And here it was this whole time. I thought I was the only one.
Oh, dear. All right, you know what? I'm going to read Matthew Guy's comment, and then you can read the other two because they're nice and short, all right? How about that?
Okay, well, no, okay. I wasn't saying I wasn't going to read it. I was just giving a summary, a quick summary, and then we're going to read him.
Brent can't read. That's the problem.
Brent can't read? No. All right, go ahead, Brent. Go ahead. Jeff Johns.
You can read books without pictures in it, boy.
Matthew Guy, Jeff Johns is working on the best book he can write right now, Action Comics. And you continue from there.
I thought you said you're going to do it.
All right, fine.
You already started it.
All right. Jeff Johns. No, I'm not going to write that. I'm not going to read the whole thing.
I was going to say, you have to do it in that voice, though.
You got to do the sudden draw, bro.
My name Matthew Guy. I like chicken.
I don't think Matthew Guy is a big, fat, beer belly, camouflage-wearing dude.
You think or you hope he's not?
No, you know what it is? Before
I know he's not.
Before we started podcasting, I was watching the end of The Big Lebowski in the other room, so that's still in my head.
I was watching Ultimate Warrior on Spike, and they were putting this Roman gladiators up against Apaches.
Oh, man, nice.
It's like that kind of, you know, that comic book thing, who would win, Batman or Captain America? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that, but who would win, Apaches or Roman gladiators? And then they take all their weapons and analyze them. What force does that do? Oh, that would tear a skull in half. Oh, let's put it to the test. Yeah, okay. I mean, let's watch that in slow-mo. Oh, that's a pretty accurate weapon. The Apaches were the best knife fighter ever. Oh, yeah? Well, the gladiator was trained to fight, not fight and run like the Apache pussies. Let's not even settle the argument. Let's run a computer simulation to determine the winner.
Yes, it's true. Spike TV is Wayne's World spawned.
They should have never canceled Blade, the series.
Yes.
And not
at least they got Mansers. Because I want to know if Breast can lift a beer keg.
Is that the quality show? Mansers.
So now that we've been talking about Mansers, Matthew Guy has this to say. Jeff Johns is working on the best book he can right now, Action Comics, as well as two volumes of JSA, Green Lantern with Blackest Night, and Superman Secret Origins around the corner. However, when Brubaker jumps ship at Daredevil issue 500, so do I, also as a reader, just like I did when Johns left JSA at issue number 26. I would like quality writers and talented artists that can do a monthly book to do so as long as they can bring their best effort. If that means artists have to trade arcs under one writer, I have no problem with that. The main thing is I don't want the best writers / artists of the big two or indie creators to lose the passion or get burned out or quit the industry altogether. If that means less books for a writer / artist, okay, I can accept that because I don't want a half-hearted effort from a writer or crappy art from an artist when I know they can do better. Even a Vertigo or Icon book to make the creator happy to try new things and feel less burned out while working for DC or Marvel or doing an indie book on the side is a good thing. Finally, if a creator wants to jump sides to play for the other company, okay. Just remember to give your best effort there. Also, otherwise you will be dropped like a hot potato for another new writer / artist in the era of higher prices and tougher competition for this comic reader's money. And that is Matthew Guy. Some good points there, actually. Well, specifically,
and then there's that
you always make him sound
insane
angry.
Point.
Wait.
You always make him sound angry.
Wait a minute. You know what?
Every time you read Matthew Guy, you always make him sound angry. Like, I'm picturing him as like a Zen guy. Just like, Jeff Johns is working on the best books he can right now. I would like quality writers and talented artists. So they can do the monthly book. But so long as they can bring their best effort, if that means artists have to trade arcs under one writer, I have no problem with that. You know, you just make him sound so angry. I mean,
it's not intentional. It's a reading style, damn it.
But wait a second. Hold it. I have to disagree with one thing. Wait a second.
Shoot.
You don't stick with the books, no matter what price point. Then they get a new artist, especially since the guy's been writing a book since he was 10. So he wants to, so a new artist writer come on. How about giving the new artist writer a chance before you say it sucks?
It's his money. He never said it sucked. He never did say anything it sucked.
Yeah.
It's his money. It's his decision.
Right.
It's his decision, but I hate the rationale that because someone new is coming on, I will stop buying the book. I think that's an insane rationale.
Well, okay.
All I have to say to Matthew is that you should give JSA a shot with William and Sturgis.
I agree with that. I mean, I've heard some bad comments about JSA.
He's fantastic. Love him.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been good. I've heard some bad things about the JSA, specifically his treatment of Mr. Terrific in that first issue. However, you know, I'll give him benefit. I'll give him benefit of the doubt, you know, for now. I haven't actually read the Dr. Fate issue yet, but I know that Dr. Fate returns to the team, which is good to see. But yeah, some people just take the opportunity as a jumping off point to spend their money elsewhere. I do agree with you, Umar, though, that you should at least give things at least 3 or 4 issues before you totally drop it entirely when a new person comes on, because you never know. You might like it even better than the last guy.
But, I mean, if you're sticking with that argument, 3 to 4 issues, by that time the arc will be done, and then you got to stay on for the next arc. With the next writer and artist.
No,
if you don't
won't.
Pick a
That's
spot to
choice.
Jump off, if this book is not your cup of tea, then you need to find a spot to jump off and get off.
But
like
wait a
Titans,
second. But
I
wait a
finally second. Figured out after 17 issues that this book sucked. It just plain sucked.
But it's your
just
choice.
Just plain sucked.
If you choose.
And I gave teams a chance, you know? I'm giving Teen Titans a chance because I loved what McKeever was doing it and they had to get rid of him.
Right, but if you choose to stick with a book with a bad writer because you quote unquote have to finish the arc, then you're a nut job. That perhaps that you should get psychiatrists some support and go get one.
Says
because
the man.
Because if it's bad, it's bad.
Talk.
But I mean,
hey, listen, I like
it's
Hulk.
A different mentality.
I'm not arguing that it's bad. I like Hulk. I will continue to always stick with Hulk. Other books I will give up if it's bad. But I'm a Hulk fan. I stick with everybody's run because I like my Hulk.
Well, okay, no.
But I did jump off Hulk a couple of times. I forgot the guy who wrote the Spy Hulk.
I'm just saying that if you give everything 3 to 4 issues, you'll never jump off anything.
I'll agree with that. Let me rephrase it then, okay? If you know that the next team is going to be on for a long period of time, which from the looks of things, Willingham and Sturgis are going to be.
But how do you know that? How do you know that, like, with Thor? With Andy Diggle and Billy Tan coming on,
yeah.
Everybody thought that was the new writer, and everybody groaned and groaned and groaned. And then Marvel had to rush out and go, wait. They're only doing 6 issues. They're only doing 6 issues. Da-da-da-da-da. It's like, relax, people. Who cares? If it's that big of a deal, then why the big stink about giving it, you know, why the big stink? That totally probably didn't make sense at all.
No.
Right. In the end, it's his decision. So I just don't. It just irks me just a little bit because, like I said, I never said I wouldn't say the Hulk was a good book just because I stick with it. I just said if when Peter David left, I didn't jump off the book because the guy was gone.
Well, I mean, if there's some, I know Matthew's like on a budget. He likes to keep a budget for his comics. I know that. They're reading his comics for 2 years, you know, and we talked to him like one time on the show and a couple audio comments. I know he has a budget that he sticks to, and he gets a lot of trades, and he's very limited on what he buys from month to month. So if he's got to stick to that budget, you know, we don't know what his, you know, living conditions are, or how many bills he's got to pay all the time. He's got to stick to that budget. He's going to find a place to jump off a book. He may not have the funds to stick around for 3 to 4 issues, as well as wanting to pick up the new JSA All-Star series when it comes out or something,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a personal thing, and that may be his style of jumping off books just so that he can go and try out the other books.
I mean, hell, I spend $160 on comics a month still, even using Heroes Corner, you know? And
did you fully switch over full-time to crack addict?
Yeah, I did, except for maybe like 3 or 4 issues that I pick up at Midtown just to, you know, keep going there, basically.
And say hi to Raph.
Yeah, and say hi to Raph. And
because he gives you $20 every time you say hi and say, I know that guy.
Exactly, high five. Well, he owes me $23 for a Mets ticket, so he's got to give me that next time. But you know, not everybody can spend $160 or whatever that I spend.
Well, I can understand it from that point of view. I was just talking from because I read it on the message boards too that I'm jumping off because my writer, and that's the budget thing I get, the because the writer left thing, that's what I don't get.
Okay, all right. So basically, if it is in your budget to pick up a title or whatever, and you don't feel like you're going to be picking up anything new that month, then it's perfectly fine to continue a book maybe for 1 or 2 issues. You know,
can I ask a question? What is this budget thing you speak of? I've heard the words, but they. Budget for
it's
comic
what married
books? Is there such
have.
A thing?
Well, you see, when a man loves a bank very, very much.
If you have a girlfriend, are married, have kids, or you're Jewish, you know what a budget is.
God, you know, you go, always got to bring it back to the Jewish thing, man. My God.
I haven't done that in episodes.
I know.
He hasn't done it like in 10 minutes. So
I think it was you.
It's back to episode 95, man. It's a celebration. All right. Well, Gabe, you've been trying to say something for the last like 5 minutes. So go ahead, say it.
There are people who tend to be loyal to a specific writer. I don't know why. But, you know, it's like, oh, that's my writer, and he's getting off, then there's no reason for me to read that book.
Yeah, well, that's the same thing I mentioned before about, you know, Astonishing X-Men. You know, I guarantee a bunch of Whedonites dropped it the minute the Whedon left, even if the Warren Ellis stuff is good. You know, because they'll follow him to the end of the, to the ends of the earth.
Which wasn't true, but let's pretend.
Wait, what?
No, it's just that Warren Ellis just went in such a wild direction. Yeah. It's like... So, I mean, okay, you're right. The Whedonites did jump off, but I don't think just the Whedonites, well, because I read that Warren run, and I was like, Warren, dude.
Well, however, things might pick up a little bit once Phil Jimenez comes on art, okay? Because some of the weirdness is coming from the Simone Bianchi art, because he chooses these weird camera angles to use and border patrol on the different panels and whatnot. So, you know, sometimes the story can feel weirder than it is because of the art. And when you put, like, a old school, superhero artist like Phil Jimenez on a book, maybe you'll feel a little bit different about what you're actually reading.
What Ian's trying to say is he hates the Italians.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying. However, I do love Parmesan cheese. And possibly chicken Parmesan.
Possibly, depending on your mood.
Depending on the mood, exactly. All right. Well, for the love of God, please, can we move on? All right. We've got a comment from Skull 13666 from Comic Tube, Mr. Brad. So yeah, go ahead, Brent. You can read this one.
I'm gonna read it like I think all comments should be read, not angrily, but peacefully and passively.
Okay.
Honestly, this all boils down.
I'm rubbing my nipples. Okay.
Honestly, this all boils down. Who you like and who is good at individual craft. I mean, I loved how long Joss Whedon's run X-Men was, but Grant Morrison's Batman work, I just couldn't wait for it to end. There is a problem here, though. Sure, I like the president's 4-year term to ensure that the others have their turn, but in turn, each artist and writer gets 6 basic issue run. I don't really see that as enough, always, to get their ideas across.
You sound like the foreign guy from Home Movies.
he sounds like one of those Saturday Night Live gay German disco guys. Okay, Brent, from now on, you have to go to the Newsarama message board and read that message post peacefully.
Oh, dude, yes.
I hate that shit. It's a piece of crap. It's garbage.
I hate
Fanboy
Radio, so, you know, whatever. Are they even around? I haven't listened to them.
I have no idea, man, honestly.
I'm asking, not asking you, I'm asking Umar, because he was a regular.
Well, on Fanboy Radio, I listen to it all the time. Because I like to listen to a radio that agrees with everything, no matter what.
Is it still on?
Yeah.
Wow.
They still have a TV show?
Huh?
Is the Fanboy TV still going on?
I don't know about the Fanboy TV, but I know Fanboy Radio is still on.
Okay.
That's it. No. You got to hold on a minute because I'm going to the Newsarama boards and I got to read at least one comment.
No. I'll do Spider Avenger while you find one worthwhile to read and then send it to me. All right.
Oh, you said
I'll
Newsarama
read
and worthwhile.
Like Arnold.
Okay. Okay.
Spider Avenger says, "I like both ways the same." That's not Arnold. Well, I'll just read it like that anyway. And, like, both ways the same. I enjoy Brubaker and John's run on Captain America and Green Lantern, but I always enjoy it when Mark Miller comes on to a book for only a set number of issues. Whether the turnover helps or hurts, I think, depends on who's the writer leaving and who's taking over. When Whedon left Astonishing, I dropped the book, but I'm not sure yet if I keep reading Daredevil after Brubaker leaves. Not angry.
I don't even know what accent that was.
That's a Brent. That's what that's called.
You sound like Christopher Walken half the time.
I don't know. I'm sucky at accents, but they do sound funny.
Oh, okay, here we go. Here we go. Okay.
All right, send me the link and I'll read it peacefully.
No. I'm gonna send it to you in the chat. Okay. Because this is a line that needs to be read peacefully.
for, All right, ready?
As spoken by Fodig in the Newsarama post about the return of Kane to Amazing Spider-Man.
So, perhaps she was not raped. It'd be nice to avoid that.
Oh my god. Wow.
Come on, give me something harder. That wasn't even angry.
All right, fine. Hold on. Wait, here we go.
It was more
here
sarcasm.
Well, wait, hold on. Let me actually read this one here. Okay, Phalanx 2525. Until this man stops being Spidey's editor and Joe Q stops butting his fat head in where it doesn't belong, there will never be another great Spidey story. So sad.
That's just eerie right now. That sounds like some kind
of scary
guy.
That's probably how he wrote it, too.
I would eat you in a nice Chianti.
Side of fava beans.
All right, let's actually talk about what Brad said a little bit. Why not? Okay, because we read it and then we didn't bother to actually comment on it because I was looking up comments. I mean, the point he makes about the, you know, basically six issues being a trial run—that is today's climate. You know, if you're not doing good after six issues, they're probably going to take you off because they can't afford to keep you on and not sell. I mean, it's sad, really. You could have a great book, but if it doesn't sell after six issues, you're gone. That's it.
That's a sad thing. Unfortunately, that's the mark, unfortunately.
Right.
And if most people left the book because you're not the writer that was on before, you're already fighting an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm. Or it could be something like Exiles that brought back too soon, and even though Jeff Parker was doing a great job on it, it got canceled.
They canceled Exiles?
They canceled Exiles, yep.
Oh, great. It goes back to where it was, and now it gets canceled.
Yeah.
Damn it.
In fact, the issue...
You need Claremont on it.
Yep. The issue that comes out this very Wednesday is the last issue.
Never mind.
Yep.
Well, I guess sales are sales. I mean, you can't disagree with the business, and you're right. I mean, like, and that's not going to stop them from putting out the trade, though. That's what cracks me up about that whole six-issue thing. But you're right. I mean, in the end, it's a business. It's hard. It's hard for geeks to get it through their thick geek heads, but it is a business. And, you know, we like to think we control everything, but we see what happens when geeks start controlling things. They start doing things like One More Day and shit, so.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't disagree with that because I have to understand that that Marvel, DC, Indies, all of them, they got a bottom line here.
Yeah.
It or not, that's where it goes.
Yeah, even if you're owned by Disney, you know, if you're hemorrhaging money on a title, they can't continue to publish it. You know, if only 10,000 people are reading it, then that's 5,000 too little. All right. Let's...
Maybe I should give Abner and Lamming Exiles.
Dude, hell yeah. That would be fantastic. I would read it every single month. I just posted another one to Brent, but before we do that, we'll do the Spider Avenger here, okay? I like both ways. I like both ways.
I read that
the
one.
Same. I enjoy Brubaker and John. Okay,
I read that one.
Okay. Well, what do you think about Mr. Spider Avenger and his comments there about liking things the same way?
It's totally fine with him. I may not agree with it on a personal level or a political level, but that's fine if that's what he wants to do.
Yeah, and he's another guy who left Astonishing after Whedon. So you know, we're just keeping we're piling on those guys who leave after a guy is gone. But it happens, you know. Such is life. C'est la vie.
It's really weird because in that test, it's hard to say if Grant Morrison helped or hurt Batman because I don't think the sales on on his run was bad at all. Morrison is kind of like Watchmen, not all boiled up in one. He's one of those you really can't fit into regular comic analogies because he just doesn't fit the mold of everybody else. Morrison is his own little universe, so...
Right. Well, and then also you've got guys like Tony Daniel that have never really written a book before, and yet after three issues, people are damning him to be, you know, a boring, dull writer. It's like, no, he's written three comic books. You know, you can't damn somebody after three comics.
I think that was the problem with that was that it was 30 pages per issue.
Uh-huh.
There was too much you know, almost he was like, it felt like he was cramming too much in these issues.
Wait a minute, what is Daniels writing?
Daniels
talking about Battle for the Cow.
Yeah, he wrote Battle for the Cow, okay. and now he's going to be writing Batman once Winnick's run is over. He's going to write
it. I felt like he really didn't have a real direction, whether it was his original pitch or not. And it's kind of funny that now that him and Judd Winnick are trading off on it.
Well, people got to also realize that when you get a new writer, it's hard to be the new writer on a big book that's so, you know, noticed. Like, G.F. Johns cut his teeth on independent stuff. Mm-hmm. Before he moved to the big two. I mean, I own his entire Justice Machine run.
Justice Machine?
Yeah. And it's an awesome run, too. I mean, you can see where, you know, why he's so big now, because it was something so different for the 80s. But you get to cut your teeth. Even Bill Willingham cut his teeth for independent stuff before he hit Fable, Vertigo, and Fables. But when you have to cut your teeth, boy, I do not want to be the new writer on a big book. I mean, it's great that he got the gig, but boy, being a new writer on a big book, woo!
Well, hell, I mean, come on. How about the fact that that Bill Willingham did some of the actually not even Bill Willingham. I'm sorry. Was it Willingham? Yes, it was. Yeah, Willingham did some of the art on, you know, Kyle's Green Lantern run. You know, I mean, now he writes Fables. You got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Jamal Igold did half an issue. His first work for DC Comics was half of a Kyle Rayner issue. That's it. You know? And then from there,
you
got to
start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But I don't know what's worse, to start on a new book, on a new writer on a big book, or to follow up a big writer.
Follow
up, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a new writer, it's hard. Yeah. What were you gonna say, Brent?
What?
No, it sounded like you were gonna say something, and then you stopped.
All right.
Any final thoughts on the topic at hand, or are we good to wrap up?
I think we're good to wrap, like the Mummy and Inhumane.
Awesome. Mummy 1, 2, or 3?
Or 50 Cent with a mic. 3 doesn't necessarily good to rap. Count.
You're gonna say good to rap. You gotta say negative, man.
Can't spell crap without rap. Is that what you mean?
All right. Before we wrap
up, we've been podcasting way too long, haven't we?
Flash yes. fact. You can't spell crap without rap.
Thank
flash
you very fact. Much for the flash fact. My God. Fine. We bring back Barry Allen. So what do? We bring back flash facts. Ugh. Damn.
Hey, that's the only one of those issues I actually enjoyed.
Oh, yeah?
Let's look it out, bitch.
Well, no, I was just happy to see Bart Allen punch his grandfather. Finally, you know, frickin' Thawn. The other side of the family, at least.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm one of those, when it comes to Bart, I was just like the old Robin. I called the Y-900 number. Guess what I voted?
Oh.
I listen, there's some characters I think need 1-900 numbers. Sentry.
Yeah, well, me, the Young Justice fan, says, Umar, it was nice knowing you.
Oh, you know what? You was one of those ones that bought Young Justice.
I'm the guy who asks at every single DC panel when you coming out with the Young Justice trade. That's just the way I roll.
That's your problem. You're the only one that's asking. You need to pay people to ask.
Yeah, no, other right? Yeah, I'll pay him at the same panel so that all four of us ask the same question.
You know, I wouldn't have minded Young Justice if they hadn't made what's her name, Voodoo Girl. I was like, you know, Peter. I'm going to start a campaign. New powers for black superheroes.
You know, Ian, you can't blame them for not wanting to put Slowbro in a trade paperback for all to read. All
right. Point well taken. Point well taken. Good night. Good night, everybody. It's been fun. All right. Before we wrap this entire thing up, let me plug the multiple comics podcasts that these people do who are on the call right now. So we'll start with Gabe. Tell us about all the shit you do.
There tends to be a lot of Taco Bell and Popeyes in there. You mean in podcasting?
In podcasting, and not your waste management.
Okay. Right. I like the way you put it. My main show is Stranger of Comics. That's where you can find me, Tony, and Rob. I am doing numerous other shows, most notably The Fictitious Hideout, where I met Darryl and Laurie, and then we've taken off and... So doing comic book roadshow, and now me and Darryl are doing our own thing. We're doing comic book roadshow 1 week, and now we have another spinoff called No Apologies, which is a general topic one.
Awesome. And where can we find all this stuff?
With Strangers, you can find us at strangerswithcomics.com. Everything else, No Apologies, and Humble Grocer, the feeds and the stuff you can find at the Fixer's Hideout, if I'm not mistaken.
Is he mistaken?
I guess not.
Okay. So,
basically, I do the Fixer's Hideout. We just updated our website. We did it with our website's a Blogspot because we don't want to be like anybody else.
Nice.
So,
even though
we want to be different.
And I'm going to write the first article on the Fixer's Hideout website. It's just going to be, I'm sorry. It's going to be.
That's like if I ever get an official gig, my first article is going to be Mark Wade, I'm sorry.
Mom, if you're reading this, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You better apologize to Daryl's mom.
Oh, fuck it.
Oh, that's exactly. Daryl's next podcast.
Yeah, I know.
No. It's I think we settled on No Apologies. I don't know if he's going to do a solo one, but we're working on that one now.
Yeah, it sucks that I had a Yankee game to go to last week, man, or else I would have joined you for the Fixers. Daryl called me up on Saturday night asking if I was available to show up the next day, and I'm like, nah, man, I got a Yankee game, but oh well.
It's not like you had a Met game to go to.
Yeah, that's Friday.
Well, listen, Ian and Juan, who is Ziggo, we're gonna get you on there sooner or later. Everyone passes through the hideout.
Who is Juan?
Wait, Juan? No, you got
his name. I thought it was Juan.
Dude, no. Dude, it's Leroy.
Oh, Leroy. You know, who's Juan?
Juan is
de Jesus.
Juan is the guy who never shows up on Geeks Unite.
Oh, okay, right.
You know what? Not for nothing. How long have we been talking to the guy? How long have we known the guy?
Dude, it's 12 o'clock.
Yeah, you don't know his name.
Oh, stop. It's 12 o'clock. I've been up since 2 this morning. So
Jesus. All right, okay, fine. Brent. Any BK's bullets or anything of the sort coming soon?
No, I think we should just focus on putting our episodes out.
we gotta have something, some sort of buffer in between, man, or else nothing's going to come out.
Oh, something will come out all right. This show.
All right, fine. Well, if and when you do decide to come out with anything, let me know, all right?
Okay.
Okay, fine. All right. Well, the email address for Comic Timing is still comictiming@gmail.com if it ever comes out. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. Graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And check out the new podcast promos section of the website, where you'll be able to find a bunch of podcasting promos for members of the CPN, which you can then use on your own website or on your own podcast yourself, or just listen to it to get a nice sampling of everybody. And the comicbooknoise.com/league for the League of Comic Book Podcasts. And don't forget iTunes reviews and Podcast Alley and all that jazz. So, Umar, thanks for joining us, man, for the long-ass time you've been on the show. And maybe I'll be on the Fixers eventually.
And tell Juan Leroy I'm sorry.
I most certainly will. And, for that other guy who's on the call, Gabe, I hope you get out of that truck eventually, man.
Yeah, eventually.
Thank you for getting in your high chair so you could reach your mic.
He just called you short.
Yeah, I'm gonna shit on Zoom later.
And Brent, good job being the actual co-host, actually, like, fielding the host job.
You're welcome.
Okay, and as always, it's always time for comics, except for when there isn't. What's that, Umar? You haven't been brainwashed?
I used to Cerberus those things, so they can't brainwash me.
You know they're pieces of shit.
You know, I'm still in the room.
They don't get viruses, but when they do, forget about getting rid of them.
Yeah. All right, so obviously we're going to talk two topics here, all right? Because that other thing came up yesterday, you know, that weird thing, that acquisition thing.
Yeah, but better release this quick because you still have the other episode to put out. I'm San Diego.
Yeah, I'm working on that one, so I'll shoot you this one to edit, Brent. All right.
All right. I can get it done. Then I got a 4-day weekend this week. So.
So do I, which means that San Diego will be done hopefully in the next couple of days.
It'll be a race to the finish.
Yeah, I'm about an hour into the San Diego one, but that's also with all the interviews and all that jazz. So yeah.
So you're not anywhere near.
I'm about halfway through. About halfway through.
Okay.
Yeah. I edited all the interviews already. Basically, I just gotta pick good spots to drop them in.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, because I'm doing what I did with the Philly thing. I'm putting them in the middle of the episode.
Yeah, that livelied it up a little bit. But yeah. The Philly one was kind of boring, but I know this one is not.
Oh.
Because me and Jamal go tit-a-tat.
Yeah, yo, Umar, you're going to have to listen to this episode because I swear to God, Brent was this close to getting punched out by Igel.
I was like the yellow shirt kid.
How did you do that?
How could you make Jamal Igel mad? That's like making Mother Teresa pissed.
did you saw like five people's mother?
Man, Brent, like halfway through the episode, got this like idea in his head that he was gonna try no matter what to piss the fuck off Jamal. I don't understand why. He just kept on bringing up, shorts underneath skirts. And,
no, I was giving him credit for that. I was giving him credit.
Okay, all right, all right.
But the main thing that did it was $30 sketchbook.
Yeah. Once Jamal brought up the $30 sketchbook, that's all Brent could talk about all goddamn night.
Sorry, I've never paid.
He's a gentle guy, but in the same way that Mr. T was like kind of funny, until you go up and really meet him,
yeah,
and then realize that's
he's from
not
Brooklyn.
That.
Those
hands are that big.
Uh-huh. And Jamal might look like a gentle teddy bear, but he also crushes like a teddy bear.
I would have gone with he crushes like Teddy Roosevelt.
No, I'm like, he got a good point. Bears will look cute until you get the piss.
Yes. Oh, and Umar, by the way, it's a good thing that I made a backup of that Torchwood episode that we did, because it looked like the original that Glory taped didn't actually come out.
Yeah, there was something going wrong. Whenever I sent them the file, it wouldn't work out well. Huh. I don't know why.
Hmm. All right, well, either way, I sent it over to her, so hopefully she'll be able to edit it.
Yeah.
All right, this is... Oh, shit. Yeah, this is episode 95.
Oh my God, we're in the same number.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, strangely, we did 95 yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's great. You know why? Because how much time it takes forever to come out with episodes, you know?
But when they do, they're worthwhile.
Oh, well, I would agree.
It's quality or quantity.
It's not listener feedback or previews or...
What?
I'm just saying.
Are you dissing on the CGS right now? Is that what you're doing?
No. They haven't put out an episode in the week. If I was dissing on them, I would hype that, but we can't do that either.
right.
Yeah, I was about to post to their message board. Is everything okay? I'm used to like five episodes a day with these guys.
They did say on like the Francis Manipul one that'd be the last one for a while.
Yeah,
because they're going to out of the country.
Yeah, they were coming back from Canada.
So
they did
just post one today. So
yeah,
I guess we can forgive them.
Yeah. Right. Well, meanwhile, like I'm sure Bob and Sam are thrilled that I put out one episode in August.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I love those sponsors.
Eh, well, whatever. We'll make it up. We're gonna make it up for them double time this month because we're picking one of the ring books.
We're doing a review corner next week, right?
Yeah, next week.
All right.
Have you guys ever listened to Geeks On?
No, I haven't actually.
It's really a good one. These are guys who actually work in the industry, game makers, film writers, and they do a podcast. They call Geeks On.
Huh. But Why would anyone ever want to listen to a professional opinion?
No, actually, they sound like us.
Professional opinions, we'll go to comic book resources.
Okay. Yeah, right. Right, sure.
Yeah, we'll go to New Survivor if we want some professional.
No, fuck that. I want the type of professional opinion that Mike Norton has on Crankcast, all right? I want him talking about, like, what he had for lunch. That's it.
Yeah, but Norton is so surly.
That's because what he ate for lunch was babies.
Remember, I got him pissed when I asked him. He was watching Tin Men when it first comes on. He said, "I hate it." And I asked him, "Well, why are you watching it still?"
It goes on.
I got a 10-minute rant. I was like, "Oh, okay. I didn't mean to make sense. Sorry."
Oh boy.
Yeah.
But at any rate, let's get going.
Let's get going. Let's get cracking. All right.
Let's get it on.
What are we talking about again?
Everything that happened in the history of man the past couple weeks. All right,
you take Marvel, I'll take the topic.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great. Cool.
I can't help but it. We'll see how that goes.
Okay. All right, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And I think,
guys, do I sound better now?
Yeah, you sound exactly the same. Go into your tools in Skype. All right, go into your tools in Skype and see what's selected. You know, because that's the easiest way to tell exactly what's going on, because it sounds like a laptop mic.
It would be nicer if Skype on Mac had tools.
Oh, well.
Well, how do you get to your sound settings?
I'll figure it out.
Do you have options at least on the thing? Like on the Apple menu, is there like a preferences?
Yes, that's what I'm going through right now.
Okay. All right, do you have audio settings on there?
Yeah.
All right, go to audio settings and see what mic is selected. Because you're using what, a USB headset, right?
Now I'm using the USB one. Before, right. I was using a plug-in mic one.
Okay, yeah, because you should be able to just select USB headset under the drop-down. It should show up. You know, on the microphone.
Yeah, you're making a lot more work for me.
Yeah, I know. Well, come on, man.
I know, I'm just giving him shit.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. I'll figure out a way to be louder.
Okay. Well, no, it's not louder. Wait. Okay, that's good, because now I don't hear anything on your end. Gabe, say something.
Something.
Thank you, God. Finally. Okay. Good.
I thought I heard the train go by a minute ago.
Yeah, well, now you actually sound like you're on a headset, because I don't hear the background noise at all, so you're good.
Oh, good. I was about to suggest he call Justin Long and see if maybe he could help him.
Okay, not all of us who own a Mac have Justin Long's number, but yes,
he's probably
I do
busy
have it
right now banging Drew Barrymore, you know?
Ooh, man.
Wouldn't
burn.
You?
Props to that guy. Props.
Yeah, good for him.
He's nice looking.
Brent.
He said BRB.
Oh, he said he said BRB, and oh, son of a bitch, my thing didn't light up like it was supposed to. God damn it.
Gabe hit him with the truck.
You know what? Keep on talking about Brooklyn again.
Yeah, well he said phone call. All right, that's fine. All right. No big deal. Once he deals with the phone call, he'll come on back and do the shit. Ouch, truck. Yeah, he just got a phone call from his family. They just found out that they're in the same truck as Gabe.
They're driving.
Oh, okay, that's what I figured. Brent?
He's speechless again.
Wait, hold on. Is he even still there? Oh, he's not. He dropped off. Fuck.
That's a good co-host. You completely don't even know that you're co-host.
Yeah, there we go.
Fell off the face of the earth.
Well, now I'm calling him back. One more
he's
time.
He's like, I don't need that you guys took my topic. Making fun of me.
All right, you back?
Yeah, I had an error with Skype for some reason.
That is very strange. All right, well, you're back now. I mean, you didn't really miss much. We were basically just talking about how Jeff Loeb sucks.
Okay.
And that's when you're dead.
My parents are dead.
Oh.
He got it in!
Yes! All right, wow.
My parents are bread.
My parents are made of lead. Okay.
Right. Oh, don't give him a new line.
Oh, dear.
All right.
The new thing should now be, I'm not dead. Stop saying I'm dead.
No, or better yet, my parents are dead, and so am I for now.
Listen, this whole Batman thing is like Monty Python and Holy Grail. I'm not dead. I'm in a cave, you assholes. How, 6 of you can travel through time. Will you come get me?
Bruce Wayne is dead. He has ceased to be.
Oh, yeah, we lost it.
Oh,
you got to know your Monty Python, damn you, young boy.
Yes.
Jeez, got to educate them all.
What? I'm sure Damien is a member of the Silly Walks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a dirty vicar.
All right, we need to stop podcasting now or my head's going to explode.
All right, guys.
Yeah, nice talking to all you people, and it'll hopefully be out in the next week or so.
Woohoo.
Booyah. And Brent, I'll shoot you the file later, all right?
All right.
Oh, he's going to shoot you, son.
Oh, phew. All right, everybody.
Get in your trunk.
Everybody have a good night. I'll talk to you later.
Later.
Laters.